Welcome to the Shotcast. It is episode 501 because we are shrink to fit and a button fly too. That is for the old people in
Sad
the audience.
To admit, I used to wear 501 button flies.
They were good pants.
At the time,
no, they fit. I am no longer that skinny.
Yeah, what are the ones that are like, look fatty, the 550s or something, where they're just like, look, you are 49 away from wherever
loose
you were as a
fit.
Teenager.
Loose.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, I know all about the loose fit. Yeah. I'm shopping in the husky section these days.
I don't
for
need
sure.
anything smashing my nuts. I don't. Never have I, nor do I currently need anything smashing my nuts. Loose fit. That's all I'm saying.
You know, you can actually pay for that service in certain
circles.
Yeah, see
that, and if I wanted it, I would, you know, I'd be paying for that service if I bought tight-fitting jeans. I do not.
You can get it for free on the internet.
It's true. I mean, I'm sure I could just get somebody to kick my nuts, you know, right in the nuts in the streets of Baltimore pretty much any day, so.
I'll tell you what, I would pay for the ticket to do it. So we are actually in 2016. We live in the future.
It's crazy.
This is the first week, the end of the first week of January 2016. If you had asked me as a teenager, will you be alive in 2016? I probably would have said no, mostly because I was bad at math. And I probably would have thought that was 100 years from then. But also, I don't know. I never had the feeling that kind of longevity was in my future. Not that I'm that old, but, you
I
know,
think, like, all, old enough. All 20-something males are pretty sure they're going to die before they're 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think that's like a Cobain syndrome of like, I'm going to burn out,
I think
baby.
That's just,
I'm going to leave a streak across the sky.
That's just a remnant of being cave people when your life expectancy was like 26. Like, it's just in the genes, man. Like, your DNA has that encoded on it still to make you just think you're going to die.
I guess that's why I still do so many speedballs.
Constantly.
I'm just like, I'm, you know, paleolithically speaking, I'm still on the right side of things.
This hooker looks clean. You know.
Yeah, she didn't look like she had herpes.
Let's do a speedball off her asshole.
I'm trying to think. I wonder if there is a name specific to that particular.
What was the one from the Meet the Fockers? The Mexican blowtorch.
I don't know. I don't.
It was Barbra Streisand, like, telling him different names for sexual maneuvers you can do. And the Mexican blowtorch was you put a cotton ball soaked in gasoline on the tip of your penis and light it on fire. And it was Barbra Streisand saying it, so it was great.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, you know, all that stuff, like the, you know, the rusty trombone and all that stuff. Like, no one ever did that. It's just a funny thing to say, but I disagree with that. I think that the world is big enough and wild enough that someone somewhere has done pretty much just about everything.
The Dutch rudder.
The Cleveland steamer.
There you go. I've seen that. German porn is a wealth of, you know, things I've never seen before.
The Pennsylvania Chop House. I would be remiss if we did not include that for power listener Andy. Let me tell you a quick story before we get into video games about German videos. So when I was a kid...
I don't believe this is going to be a quick story.
It's quick okay. enough. But, you know, parents, take your kids out of the room for this one. So when I was a kid, and by kid I mean, you know, like late teens, maybe early 20s, but it feels like this was a teenage thing. We got our hands on a German Scheisse film. And I can pretty much mark my life in two distinct categories of prior to seeing the German Scheisse film and post seeing the German Scheisse film.
BSNPS.
Yeah, it is. It, like, as a teenager, like in your head, you think, like, how bad could this really be? And then you see it and you realize it's just as bad as you thought. And probably a little bit worse. You know, like,
oh, she's putting it in her mouth. Didn't see that coming.
There were blenders and hoses. I feel like I remember someone saying "Das Poop is gut." And
nine.
It is. Yeah, it's terrifying. If you ever think to yourself, like, I had to get my hands on one of those, or look one up on the internet and just see, you know, what's what. And this was kind of pre-internet, or certainly pre, you know, like, watching video streaming on the internet. And it was terrifying. But, yeah, so I honestly, like, when that came up, what was it in the South Park film, I think? Or one of the South Park episodes where they were talking about Cartman's mother being a Germanized film. And I was like, I've seen one of those. I know exactly what they're talking about. And that's not a good thing. That's on me. Like, I fucked up.
See, I lived a much more innocent life. Mine was before I saw Clockwork Orange and after I saw Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to subdivide, I
saw that movie when I was 11.
Clockwork Orange.
Fucked me up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little young. I think I saw it around 13, and it was pretty rough. That's kind of
when everybody
then
sees it, you know? It's like, oh, you got to see this fucked up movie.
Yeah, it's not for kids. You know, like, they were never going to make an action figure from Alex.
Get all four droops!
Although I would love one.
and what was the action figures? Don't forget the Durango, or whatever it was.
Yeah, the whole commercial is just set to an electronic version of Beethoven's Ninth. Yeah,
no, there's that great synthesizer version of the William Tell overture that's in the movie when they're having sex.
Yeah, the big around
just
the world
play
scene.
Over it. Oh my god!
Yeah, and you know the dildo sculpture is included with Alex.
That's his accessory.
Right.
The other two guys.
Car playset.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the Kurova Melgar playset, sure.
You can get the woman that they raped, you know, but she's got, like, her tits cut out of her jumpsuit, you know? That's her action figure.
Or it Velcros off so you can reenact the scene.
So you can reenact it, which is what every kid wants to do.
Yeah, God. I really feel like we should stop talking about this and just take this to Etsy.
Just cut, like, over this section of the podcast, there's going to be a loud beep. Like, if you just got to me talking right now and you heard a loud beep before, it's because copyrighted material was discussed and we didn't want it to get out into the wild before we had a chance to capitalize on it.
Yeah, it's just going to be the commercial. Prepare yourself for dun, da, 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 da.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, all right. I feel like we're starting off on the right foot. So. Yeah. So video games are being played by you, by me, by everyone.
People.
Or everyone who's cool.
Yeah.
In general, video games are played, yes. So let's, you know, take it around the table here and see what we've been playing before we get into other nonsense. But let's start with Justin. Justin, you continue to bring the most interesting video games to the table, not the run-of-the-mill shit that I play, the you know, the little spice of the show. So, what
no
you
pressure.
Got?
Really nothing. Nothing new this week.
Oh no! Oh shit!
I've played a lot of Squad, which I've talked a lot about.
So, what
for
is
a long time?
What is like the player count of that getting up to now? Is that pretty busy now that it's out on Steam?
It's hard to get into a server.
Nice.
Oh wow.
They've probably got 100 servers, and you've got these ones that are like 72 player, 50 player, whatever. And once they get full up, I mean, you might find one with one slot, so it's hard to, like, unless you're starting fresh on a server that has no one on it, you're not really going to be able to play with, you know, a bunch of friends or anything like that. So it's a little unfortunate, but they're working on doing like full Steam integration, so you can just hit, you know, join game straight from like the player list. So that's gonna be cool.
Yeah. What?
Well, and you got to think with that kind of success, the server count's only gonna go up.
Oh yeah.
Have they added any more like game types, or did you say before there was just one kind of large map, or I forget what you?
I think there's 6 maps now. Okay. Wow. They did an update right before Christmas and added the Russian faction is in there now, and then what they call the militia, which is kind of
people from Oregon.
There you go.
Topical. Cowboy hats. Thank you. Topical.
Picket signs.
Well done, Dennis Miller.
You take that back.
It's more like the green men from the Ukraine kind of thing. So that's hilarious. Russian weapons.
I have a friend who's in the Air Force in Estonia right now, and he works on A-10 tank killers. And that's the first place that I heard they call them little green men, and it's the Russian soldiers that come across the border and pull off any identifying Russian insignia off their uniforms, and they just, we got little green men 20 clicks away. I think that's a great name.
I saw the Green Man Group in Vegas. They were really good.
Different. Something totally different, but
I like the Fuchsia Man Group, personally.
The Puce Man Group.
I think I'm gonna puce.
But they're gonna add vehicles. I think they said in a couple months, vehicles will be done. So that game's, I mean, once it's done, it's going to be really awesome, and they're putting new content out constantly, more so than most other early access titles.
What's the release timeline for that thing?
I think it's a year, and then it's going to have complete mod support. So, I mean, technically, once it's done, people can keep building on it and make who knows what with it. You can make a complete modification of the game. Do whatever kind of thing you want to do with it, which is going to be really cool.
Doesn't that seem like an invitation to hack, though, at that point?
Yeah, I guess so. It's probably the point where you'll have more people who play it somewhat privately when it's more like that, where they'll run like a custom server and they've got a group of people and they'll just play with that specific set, like a clan or something like that. I think you'll see stuff like that popping up where they just have a complete custom set of the game, kind of like how you get with Arma if you play with a group. They have a custom set of mods that they use.
Are all the servers that are currently available, are they all company run servers, or is there any hosting of your own stuff yet?
It seems like it's being hosted by several different people. I don't know for sure if you can just go get buy a server somewhere and start hosting it like DayZ. I don't think you can yet. I think it's probably closed to a group of people that they trust at the moment or have some kind of connection to.
Do they have any kind of anti-cheat stuff going on yet? Or?
Yeah, they've had VAC on, I think, since start, they said. But they put out some kind of a news release about how they had just signed with a new type of anti-cheat that's going to get integrated in the game. That's supposed to be a lot better than anything that's out there. So that'll be pretty cool. They've had a little bit of trouble with people hacking and cheating with the most current release, where people can just spam the grenade launchers at infinite, automatic fire and just ruin the game for everybody.
I don't know what the answer is for that. That shit has got to be so frustrating as a developer.
Yeah.
Right, because you want to open it up to the community, because the community can bring so much to a game, but there's also, bad apples in every bunch, for lack of a more profane term.
Yeah. They seem to be pretty concerned with the hacking stuff, and they have definitely laid it out that, they're not going to stand for it. They're going to find a way to, ban people and keep them from getting the game again if they can, which would be pretty cool. It's a little bit easier with Steam, just because, if you're hacking and you get caught on Steam, it's kind of tied back to your Steam account, so a lot of people make fake accounts and do them from that. So,
yeah, I got 2 or 3 burners, but I just use that for all the, porn scratch off games that pop up on Steam.
I have a second Steam account that was strictly for the second copy of Arma 2 that I bought when we were playing the DayZ mod, because we got busted for hacking because we were trying to keep hackers off of our server. Such a sad state of affairs, man. That was so depressing.
Yeah, luckily we'll never have to play Arma 2 online again. No. And I'll never have to actually log out and remember what that password is, because I don't think
I don't. I have just an abandoned Steam account with an Arma 2 license on it somewhere. Yep.
Our gift to you.
Yeah, from if you SCF can find Amy. It, you can have it. Yeah.
Do you like to randomly type in characters in password fields? Have I got a game for you? It's Schadenfreude the game.
But other than that, I played a bit more of some Rainbow Six Siege. I have a lot of fun just playing that solo in the lone wolf mode. Just doing terrorist hunt. That's a lot of fun. Just if you're trying to kill them a couple minutes here and there. That's really about all I've played. I've been watching a lot of video games with this Awesome Games Done Quick marathon. So I've been watching a lot more than I've been playing for the past.
What kind of stuff have you seen? That was a Twitch stream, right?
Yeah, it's still going on until Saturday about 8:30. It's cool because they have like different blocks of games. So they have like a Donkey Kong block where people are speedrunning through Donkey Kong and showing you kind of crazy glitches, and they have people racing, so they'd have four players playing Donkey Kong at the same time. And then, you know, just went through all the different Donkey Kong games. They're doing Mega Man right now, which is really awesome. It's just really cool watching people who've found, like, you know, hacked into these games and found all these different ways to, you know, skip bosses or not take damage and things like that, where it's not like you're not cheating, you're just exploiting bugs that are in the code of the game, which is pretty cool.
Cheesing, we call that.
Do they do any... I mean, are there, like, rules involved where you're not allowed to actually, like, use, you know, hacks or... not hacks, but, like, actual cheat engines or...
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's part of it. Like, they're trying to officially... Like, this is, like, competition-level speedrunning?
I would say the Awesome Games Done Quick is more of, like, just an exhibition of what is out there in speedrunning.
Okay.
A big part of it is, you know, it's obviously on Twitch, and they're all these people who are running, they have, you know, YouTube channels and Twitch channels where they post like their world records, where they're trying to actively, you know, beat either the record or their own personal best records. So while there have been some world records set on here, it's not really where people are like in a competition so much. Because it's all for the Prevent Cancer Foundation, so there's not any prize money or anything like that. So it's just really just kind of a marathon.
Just trying to put on a good show.
Yeah. And people do some interesting stuff where, you know, they'd be like, well, if I was trying to beat this game as quick as I would do this. But if I do this, it's going to make this crazy thing happen in the game that, you know, you never would have thought. So they'll go out of their way to, like, show you, like, almost like a little smorgasbord of bugs in different games, just to, you know, go to different levels. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to tune into that, but it sounds cool. The other thing that I like, I can't remember if it's coming up soon, but when they do, it's actually what I thought it was when you sent out the link, because I didn't look at it very closely, but the where they stream like those speed programming runs where the game jams. Have you guys ever watched any of those? Where it's actually people, like, they have a theme. That's like where that game Receiver came from a game jam where they have 7 days to program a game, and they sit there and they just, like, they're all in some rented space and they all sit around and they broadcast it. And, you know, you got like 7 or 8 different groups all trying to come up with games in the 7 days, and they come up with some really cool shit. And it's like not as, you know, sit down and watch entertaining as speedrunning or, you know, just regular Twitch streams. But like, if you kind of check back in on it, you know, once a day or something to kind of see what kind of progress they've made, that shit's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I need to check one of those out.
I really wish I was better at programming.
They did have a Super Mario Maker section last night. That was really awesome because...
Yeah, somebody I know was watching that instead of playing Destiny.
It was really cool. I mean, they had these guys on there who were just sort of infamous or famous for making these extremely hard levels, and to see them playing through levels that they had made that none of them had ever really seen before, and trying to figure them out live. It was really awesome. It was a cool race.
Did you watch any of that feature between what's the guy from Giant Bomb, Dan Reichert, and former Giant Bomb guy who I think he now works for Kotaku, Patrick Klepek, where they were doing for charity? They were having people like wager and submit funds, saying there's no way. Like, Dan would design a level, and then Patrick Klepek, he would deliver it, put it out there, and Patrick Klepek would stream himself trying to solve it. And he had like 48 hours to try to beat it, or that would be considered a loss for him. But if he could beat it within 48 hours of it being released, then it was a win for his side. And they went back and forth and did some pretty crazy levels. That was pretty interesting. And then donated like $6,000 to charity or something like that. It was cool.
Yeah, Super Mario Maker seems like it's pretty awesome as a platform for just really anything you can think of when it comes to that kind of a game, that platformer type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like Nintendo kind of stepping out of their comfort zone a little bit and letting people fuck with their stuff. Like, they don't normally do that, and it's like, I'm trying to think of other games that have done this. And the only thing I can think of, I never played it, but what was the one with Sackboy?
Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I never played it, but it sounded interesting. But like, from what I hear, it was just kind of not up to snuff. Like, people had made games within the game and things like that. But, it sounded cool, but just kind of the glowing reviews of Super Mario Maker, sounds like they made something pretty cool. I'm honestly not all that big of a fan of Mario games. Like, you got Super Mario Brothers and Mario 2. Like, I played them on my NES, but I've kind of never really been a platformer guy. So while that looks cool, and I think the ability to create all the levels and stuff, like, that's something I'm probably never going to play.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I do like platformers, depending on the quality they're in. But I like Super Mario Brothers and 2 and 3. Once it hit N64, I kind of lost my Nintendo street cred because I just didn't buy one.
That was something I was into even less, was like the 3D platformers of the early 90s. Like, I just did not care for that genre at all. And I know, like, there's people that just love it, with Super Mario World, and there's a ton of them. There's the Jak and Daxter is kind of that, and Ratchet and Clank is kind of a 3D platformer, and I just never really got into those. And some of those are really cool looking, but I just never played any of them.
Yeah, I had a PlayStation during that time, and I mean, there was a lot of that stuff on there, but I just never really got super into it.
I was too busy editing editing levels in wolves. Sorry, Freudian slip.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go edit these wolves.
I was really into Moreau style genetics and had edited wolves to actually speak and build their own form of government.
Great. Now I have to move again. I was more into, there was a level editor for Marathon, the Bungie game, and at the same time, there was Wolfenstein 3D, and I had a level editor for that, and that I had no need for a 3D platformer, because I could murder 50,000 Nazis in a giant room of my design. So, it was all over after that.
Sure, sure. Once you get a taste for blood, being able to... Hop on a flower and shoot fireballs.
Drink their blood while riding them into the sunset. Yeah, I mean, changes a man.
Riding them like a surfboard. Yeah.
One under each foot with like a lasso through their mouths, Yeah.
That sounds pretty great. Is there a game that allows you to do that? If not, there should be.
Wolf Riders. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. Wolf Riders. What else do you need? It's a game about riding fucking
TNC
wolves.
TNC Wolf Designs. Nobody played TNC Wolf. Surf Designs. It was a terrible surfing game. Has anyone ever played decent surfing game?
I can't. No. What was the California one?
California Dream?
Maybe.
Yeah, what the hell was that called? I know what you're talking about. There was one that was all right. It was like on the NES, but...
Yeah, I'm not trying to suggest that it was a good game. Yeah. I'm saying it was probably the best surfing game I ever played.
It's like the best wrestling game I ever played was pro wrestling on the NES.
Yeah. But I think you can kind of argue like SSX. It's a snowboard game, but come
on. I was
digging
through my bins of games the other day, and I found Cool Borders 3 for the PS1, which is a pretty fucking great game.
Loved some Cool Borders.
Yeah, that was some good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't really think of like a surfing game that stacks up to that. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't, you know, surfing doesn't have the popularity. Yeah. I like the snowboarding stuff got popularized by the X Games forth.
Yeah.
So that was more in the public consciousness. I mean, how many people on a day-to-day basis are you bumping into that's like, you know what, they need to make a really good surfing game, you know? Like, I'm way more into Wolf Riders the game than I am. Yeah, because I don't care if the whole game is just you riding around on a pack of wolves with a foot on the haunches of each one. That's still way better than a surfing game as far as I'm concerned.
It's like that that old arcade game, Sunset Riders. Where's the there's the scene where you actually just run across the backs of like a stampeding herd of buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good level,
wolf,
too.
Wolf,
don't kid yourself.
Wolf Riders, right there.
Just Sunset Riders. I had that for the Genesis.
It's good shit, man.
Or the, you know, Lethal Enforcers 2. What was it? I don't think it was called Sunset Riders. I think it was something else, but I might have that wrong. But, oh, I played the shit out of that game.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Shooting cowpokes on your television.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Yeah. I wish they had good, you know, light gun games these days, because they could be ultra realistic. But then again, I guess that's kind of where we're heading with VR.
That's exactly
but
where we're going.
Yeah.
I have a working copy of Duck Hunt upstairs. It's plugged into a TV. I can play it whenever I want. So, yeah.
Excellent.
I don't really need to. I don't need to adopt VR. I've got a light gun.
It's in the bathroom.
Actually, that's a sweet idea.
Oh, yeah, a little bathroom duck hunt. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Why did I not think of that until now? I feel like I've been living in a cave.
Yeah. I'm telling you that the bathroom is the best place for your old video game consoles.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah. Was blind, but now you see, baby. Anything else, Justin, before we roll over to one John Q. Dolan?
That is it for me.
All right. Dolan, hold off on one game that we have been playing together so we can discuss that briefly. But
yeah, that's the one I forgot to write down, actually.
That's not a stunner.
The game I like to call the new Metal Gear Solid.
it's the Metal Gear Solid that I play,
that's right,
I guess.
That's right. I'm still dipping into the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection.
Oh, yeah. How deep are you into that?
I'm
are you
like
done with the first
75%
one yet?
Through the first one, and I'm getting kind of tired of it. I'm ready for number two. Like, I'm at the point where I might just not finish one and just go to two.
Yeah, whatever you got to do.
So,
two's the superior game. Yeah. You know what you're in for now.
Yeah.
Just get ready for a better version of
it. And that's what I want, because this version of it, it's very repetitive. And that's something I was not anticipating with obviously 2 has like all the, you know, accolades and the, you know, everybody always talks, oh, 2, yeah, you gotta fucking play 2. So I'm figuring, well, 1's gotta be pretty good too, you know, but it's for what it was in its time, it's good. It's a nice shooter, but it's just like, I mentioned it before, but the whole monster closet aspect of it, where it's like, you're killing 15 guys right here. There's no two ways about it. You are not done with this area until all 15 guys are dead, and they will just keep coming out of this hallway. And then when you walk into that hallway, there's no place for them to have been coming from. they spawn back there. And that's fine. It's an older game. The controls are, you know, fine. It's a little floaty. As we've discussed before, but I think I'm about done with 1, and I'm just going to skip on to 2. And I used to feel guilty about doing that kind of stuff. Like, I used to play Call of Duty on the hardest level when you're playing a single player campaign. Now I just turn everything on easy because I just want to fucking play the game. So
yeah, you got more sunsets behind you than in front, man.
I got time for frustration from a video game. I'm here to have a good time. So yeah. I bought, let's see, we're going to go to my toiletry / I can also play it on my computer. I picked up on the Steam sale, which we need to have a little discussion about the Steam sale, I think, as well. I picked up One Finger Death Punch, which is originally a mobile game that has been ported to Steam or PC, and I like it better on PC, which normally that does not work that way. One of the main reason I like it better on PC is that on mobile it is a free-to-play game, and there's all kinds of bullshit you got to click through to just fucking play the game on the mobile version. Essentially what it is you are like a picture the stick figure that's on the men's bathroom, and he is standing in the middle of the screen, just a white colored stick figure guy. And from the left side, it's just a 2D plane, like a Mortal Kombat view, basically like a fighter view. And from the left and the right side, other stick figures approach you, and they, you know, some of them may have like a spear in their hand. Some of them might have a knife in their hand. Some of them are just, you know, kind of walking up to you. And the entire controls for the game are clicking the left mouse button and the right mouse button based on which side the enemy is approaching you from. And so underneath your feet, there is an area that takes up maybe the center quarter of the screen. And the guys have to be within that area underneath your feet when you click the mouse button to attack them. So a guy's coming up to you from the right, and he enters the little combat area. And then you click the right mouse button, and your little stick figure will do this kick-ass kung fu, kick his leg way high up in the air, and blood sprays out of the other stick figure's face, and he goes flying back. But then there's a guy coming from the left side who's like the maximum distance from you he can be, but still is within the combat area. And you click left and your guy will like do a little hand spring and kick him in the face. And then you can click back to the right and hit another guy. And then maybe there's three guys approaching from the left. So you click the left mouse button three times and he, you know, wah, 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 does all this karate shit and beats the crap out of them, and they go flying. And it's really stupid, but it's really fun.
Yeah, I was looking at a little video of that. That looks all right. That does look like a good time.
I wish it was better on my phone, because I would have my new I'm sitting on the shitter and I want to do something while I'm here game.
Yeah, well, now you got Duck Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, the mobile game's not terrible. It's free. Like, if you're going to get it on Steam, it's going to cost you, I think it was like $2.99 or something.
I think it was actually $5, $4.99, I want to say.
Yeah, it was worth it. It's worth $5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. All like, right. If you have some people over and you just kind of want like some stupid little party game or something, or you want to, you know, something anybody can play, it's totally that game. Anybody can give this a try. And it's got, you know, funny music, and the sound effects are great. And the only thing that's wrong with it is the tutorial section of it. Anytime the game is trying to teach you something, there's a guy doing like the worst Japanese stereotypical voice, and it wouldn't be very bad if he was just saying things like, to catch the dagger, you must reach in the sky. Like, if it, and then that was it, that would be fine. But instead, it's like, now we are going to talk about this thing for 5 minutes while I do this kind of awkward voice that's sort of racist. for a really long time. Thank you. It's just okay.
Yeah, I do that voice. The vaguely racist Japanese accent, yeah. Sure.
But you do it in like short bursts for, you know, comedic value. You don't read a paragraph of text and just maintain, because that's where it becomes sketchy.
And I certainly don't do it in public, yeah, know. You know, much less as part of a video game tutorial.
Like, unless your name's Pat Morita and you're in the movie The Karate Kid, that shit doesn't fly very well. Just sounds kind of off, man.
Yeah, I understand what you're going for there, and, you know, sort of the grand tradition of kung fu movies and that sort of thing. But, you know, like you said, there's I would even say more than vaguely, I would say a pretty, you know, clear cut racism going on when you're using a voice like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the audio version of blackface, basically. I don't know, man. It's bad. Anyway, despite that, the game's pretty fun. Let's see, what else did I pick up? Satellite Rain. Which I'm pretty into. It is. Did either of you ever play the old Syndicate game, like from the 90s?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So you've got like your squad of four guys, and you upgrade them with abilities, and it's an isometric view, three-quarter top-down, and you, wherever you click your mouse, your little squad runs to. And it's got that typical. What are some of the new ones? Pillars of Eternity. You know, Baldur's Gate, where you can like just select two guys and send them over here and then select the other two and send them this way. It's basically exactly like the old Syndicate with really kick-ass graphics, and the upgrade system and your abilities are just way, way more deep. So it's totally scratching the cyberpunk Blade Runner vibe that I absolutely love. I have yet to see a moment in this game where it's not raining, and at night. It's always at night. It's always raining, and there's neon everywhere. It's fantastic looking. So you start off, and it's corporations trying to steal, you know, genetic modifications and biomechanical modifications from one another, and you are a squad of guys who work for one of these companies, and you're going to try to steal shit and wipe out stuff from the other companies. It's totally Syndicate. It's some of the cool additions that it's got are things like, I'm on a mission right now where I'm trying to figure out how to break into a bank, so that I can steal some funds so that I can have my scientists research better weapons for me. And I recruited a scientist by bribing some guy in the street. So one of my four soldiers had the ability to have kind of like this second sight where he can – it goes into almost like a predator view, like a thermal view. It highlights people who are useful in some way. And this guy had like a little nuclear atom symbol above his head. And so, you know, he's a scientist. So I go like gave him $100 and he's like, yeah, sure. I'll come to your lab and make guns for you for $100. So he's back there working now. And while I was on the way to find that guy, you're walking around the city and there's like a noodle stand and there's Cluck Cluck's chicken shack or whatever. And out in front of all these places is ATMs. And so one of your guys is a hacker and he goes and he puts a skimming hack onto the ATM. So it causes rounding errors that give you like the extra pennies every time something is rounded on the ATM. And so you start finding like maybe I think I've got like 10 ATMs working for me right now. So I'm making like $5 or $6 a second off of ATMs. But the mission to break into the bank is so that you can actually plant software on a computer inside the bank that will compound that error even more from the bank's software itself. So then it basically is like a doubler for the money that you're stealing from this rounding error. I haven't done it yet, but I've read there's stuff like you can actually, if one of your soldiers is injured, I think you can hack somebody else's body. Like you can move your brain into their body and then just switch brains with them because you have like cybernetic implants and things. And then you just like leave them to die in the corner in your old body. And then you just keep going soldiering on down the street. Totally a Syndicate vibe. It is pretty fun so far.
Yeah, it looks kind of almost animated.
The graphics are not like the greatest thing you've ever seen, but it's pretty fun. Like if you enjoy that style game and you're into cyberpunk and you had any sort of love for Syndicate at all, it's totally worth checking out. Maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours into it. I got through the tutorial. I got through the tutorial, which was about 45 minutes, and then I probably played about 2 hours after that. But I didn't want to put it down. Like it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, fuck, I got to go to bed because, you know, work.
Right. The real world.
Yeah. Or I could call in sick and play this game all day, but that looks bad. So, totally worth checking out. I had a really good time with it.
It looks cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I only bought. So, do you guys want to talk about Steam real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of had the same experience with the Steam sale this time around, right? That it was happening. It was a thing that was going on in the background. But
yeah, I didn't. I bought
part of it.
I bought six games, yeah. But they were all like cheap, you know, sub $10 games. Like I did that the fact that they got rid of the flash sales made it like way less engaging, and there was kind of no sense of, I'm curious what the numbers are, what the sales numbers are. It must have been a lot lower because there was just kind of no pressure to buy a game. So yeah. Instead of the normal, oh, well, this is on flash sale, I know this is as low as it's going to get, I'm going to pick it up right now. Instead of that, all I did was, oh, yeah, this is on sale. And I added like 30 games to my wish list that weren't on there before with the intention of going back at the end of the sale and deciding whether or not I wanted to get them. And the answer on most of them was no. So...
yeah, I didn't even get that far. I had a couple of games that I was looking for. I was real tempted to pick up MGS5 a couple of times.
It was
times.
Still 40 bucks, is that right?
Yeah, it was 40 bucks. Yeah. It was, 30% off or whatever. And but even at that price, I was like, I've got so much to play still on my plate. And
that game's starting to fall off people's radars. Like, it's going to be $29.99 soon.
Yeah. So, and I'll pick it up then. Yeah. But the only thing I picked up was Life is Strange.
That looks interesting. I've heard some really good stuff about that. I'm getting a little adventure gamed out currently, and I'm trying to save my... I picked up Tales from the Borderlands on your recommendation, and it was like $8. So, like, I couldn't pass that up. But it would. I'm saving myself for that. Like, I don't want to burn out on the current adventure game, push before I get a chance to dig into that and really enjoy it. But yeah, I bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've only bought 6 games for a grand total of $32. I got Not a Hero, Tales from the Borderlands, The Beginner's Guide, Satellite Rain, One Finger Death Punch, and then I got Massive Chalice also.
Massive Chalice is quite a good game.
$4.99. That's the right price, man.
Cannot beat it. And I think actually this weekend on Steam, I think I saw that it was like $7 or $8. Still a very good price for that game. I highly recommend it. It's kind of a fun, turn-based strategy, semi Game of Thrones simulator.
Yeah. It looks cool. I'm excited to try that one as well. But right now, I'm really into that Satellite Rain. And the Beginner's Guide, I picked that one up because I've heard a lot of cool things about it. And also, I've heard like the playthrough on it is like under 2 hours. So that will be just kind of a fun palate cleanser between things, I think.
Yeah. That's, sort of what a little game called Destiny has been for me. Is
There's one other game that I'm saving, too, that we also played a lot of together, bro.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot that I played that.
Let's talk about that one, then.
All right. Let's.
We played quite a bit of Rocket League over the holiday break.
Yeah,
but
as we said, it was one of the few times where we were like, "Hey, we ought to play some Rocket League," and then son of a bitch, we played Rocket League.
Yeah, a couple of times we did that. It's like, yeah, this other game is fun, but we should play a little Rocket League. But the best part was that snow day mode where you're playing with a hockey puck instead of a ball. That's fucking fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Just that little tweak in the physics where like it really changes the approach. Like with the ball, there's a lot of valid shots that you can take from way down the field, but when it's that puck, like the verticality is kind of gone from the game unless you are riding the puck up and down the wall to get it down the field. Like taking the puck down the center of the field is kind of a loser move because it's so easy to just bump it off course. And you can't really get under it to get it up in the air unless it's already kind of like wobbling around. But that shot where you kind of catch it on the wall and you just kind of ride right underneath it while you stick to the wall a little bit and you get it all the way down. And then you give it just the right push so that it slides around the corner and falls directly down in front of the center of the goal. And then the rest of your team just charges at the puck to try to knock it in. That is fun as shit.
Yeah, it was like you said, the lack of verticality where all of a sudden the jump function serves almost no purpose.
Yeah, it was all,
kind
like,
of throws me off. Yeah,
because blocking, and that was the thing. Like that's why that shooting the puck around the wall and having it drop down from above became the shot, because every shot taken from in front of the goal, you don't have to leave the ground to block it. So it totally removed that little chip shot that you can do with the ball otherwise. So, That game's, man. And I mean, we even played a bunch of just the regular style with the ball. I played a whole bunch by myself as well. I played a bunch of ranked matches and I did all right. I actually got on a couple teams where we had some pretty good win streaks. But when I was doing that, I played mostly just the regular. Well, you have to. You just play the regular version. And man, that game's got some staying power.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, God bless. Was it Psyonix?
Yeah.
Or Psygenesis? I can't remember now. Psyonix. Yeah, for, you know, putting those new modes out and continuing to support that game. They're, you know, the reason it has such staying power is because they keep adding stuff that turns out is real fun. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see them introduce even more. You know, you've got the ball, you've got the hockey puck. We'll come up with a couple other things that you could have in place of those too. Maybe you could do some pretty fun different types of matches with that.
Even just the arenas are, some of them are just kind of slightly different. Like there was one that we were playing that kind of looked like a, almost like a Grecian bathhouse. It had just like tons of blue and white tile everywhere. But the field itself was slanted towards the center line of the field. So when you, if you were driving downfield and you went either right or left, you were slightly higher than the center of the field, which was kind of an interesting, it wasn't much, but it was, you know, it was noticeable. Like you could see it kind of coming into play in different ways. Just that, I mean, I'm sure it was as subtle as it was, because if you did anything more crazy, it would really start to affect how the game was played.
Yeah, I really like the Thunderdome one too. I just thought that had a cool look.
Yeah, when you get a goal and the flamethrowers shoot all over the place. Yeah, that was fun. But other than that, I played the last game.
Yeah, so let's, God damn it, let's talk about Destiny for a minute. I'm not proud of this.
But, you know, like, I think my shame is just, like, I don't have it anymore. It's like, yeah, whatever. I'm one of those guys that plays Destiny now. Whatever.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I've kind of hit that point. And, like, you know, it just highlights for me the problems with Destiny, but also highlights what's great about Destiny.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are times you want to take Destiny by the lapels and just give it a good shake and say, just explain yourself. Yeah. Because all these multiple currencies that are just nonsense and a story that who gives a shit.
There's a whole section of my inventory that I don't know what it's for.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, we were kind of talking about this last night when we were playing. There's a lot of just like, oh, well, here's an experience doubler or something, so you can just bump up to the next level, which I guess fine.
Yeah.
But I never think to use it, and I don't care, because the point of playing the game for me isn't I'm following the story closely.
Yeah.
I want to go to the place that I have a mission, shoot some stuff, and then see what I got, you know, on the back of shooting a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
And
it's the Diablo model. I want to go somewhere, kill a bunch of guys, get some cool stuff, repeat, repeat.
That part of the game is fantastic.
Yes. Agreed.
It's when, and but I will say that the later missions that we've been playing, like some of the Mars missions, I think have had better level design and just seem like there's more going on.
Yeah, the battles have definitely been better. Like the AI and the enemy variety is a lot better as well. Like within individual missions, like that one we were fighting those big, huge guys. They kind of look like the dudes from the Fifth Element, like the keepers of the stones or whatever, the big, huge metal dudes. You got those guys, but then you got like some wraith looking things that can kind of teleport, and, you know, just some kind of cannon fodder dudes that come running at you full speed. And it was like the mix of them and, you know, the kind of the way they interacted. And then plus the fact that they all have pretty decent AI. Like there was a point when we were playing the other night where I was using a six shooter, a hand cannon, and I like pointed it at some guy. And right when I pointed it at him, he moved. And so I went back off of the iron sights and, you know, put the gun back down to fire from the hip. And he jumped back out And so I aimed at him again, and I swear to God, it was like when I was aiming at him, he was moving out of the way because I was aiming at him. And if it's not actually doing that, it's doing something that's very convincing of that.
Yeah, it's, again, the problem with Destiny does not lie in the enemy AI. The variety was a problem, but that seems to be getting better.
Yeah, much better.
The level design seems to be getting better. In fairness, I've played enough now that all the, you know, kind of bullshit currencies and bounties and all that stuff is starting to gel so that I understand all that now, but it just shouldn't take that long. Like that stuff should be apparent within the first, you know, let's say 5 or 10 levels, and it's not, you know, like I'm way, way deeper into the game. And am just now getting to the point where I feel like I understand what all the systems in play are. Not necessarily gameplay systems, but just the weird economy of the game and the way that the items are interacting with your equipment and gear and all that stuff. So that's a problem. But, you know, I still, like, I was kind of, you know, not that I don't enjoy being with you fine folks. But I was a little bit bummed I was almost like, I just want to play a little more Destiny tonight, because it has become my kind of go-to game of, I can kick back on the couch, shoot some stuff, listen to some music as I'm doing it. And I've even, to the point where, I know I told you this, John, but I've got my Destiny playlist now.
Oh, nice.
That is nothing but like driving guitar rock.
Nice.
And
space cowboy, you got a space cowboy thing, man.
I'll tell you, listening to, I said this last night, but listening to Motley Crue Shout at the Devil while I'm taking dudes' heads off is just, that's a good time for me. I'm having a blast doing that. And so I'm looking forward to playing more. I'm probably going to play a shit ton of Destiny this weekend. And I know at a certain point that game is going to run out of steam for me. But right now, I'm glad that I finally got it, I suppose, that I don't look at people who tell me how much they like playing Destiny. Like, I got to poke a hole through cardboard because it just seems like such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Now I kind of understand, like, oh, okay, well, you're looking past the glaring problems that present themselves in the early goings of that game. And once you get past that, there's a lot of good stuff to be found.
I think it still has the problem of, and maybe I'm just greedy, but like the upgrade of your weapons. Like I've been trying to find a auto rifle since like level 4 that's worth a shit. And I think my guy is like level 16 now. And I've just been on this auto rifle dry spell. Like, I cannot get one that's decent. Like, that's why I'm rolling with the hand cannon, because it's just the better. Like, it's not that I haven't gotten a good one. I haven't gotten an auto rifle in, like, you know, 8, 9 levels. So
I'm telling you, that auto rifle has a bit of a siren song. But once you get up on that scout rifle, man.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So I finally got a scout rifle. But it's the next level down the road, so I'm so close to that thing. So it does while I'm like, you know, the things that I am hoping are going to drop. Like, I get tons of shotguns, which I don't really care for. Some of the beam rifles are all right. I don't like the charge that you got to wait for on those. They're nice for like if there's a big crowd of guys running at you and you don't really have to aim super precise. I refer to it as the street sweeper. Like it works great for that. But it's using up a slot that could otherwise be occupied by something more versatile. While I really, that hand cannon's pretty sweet, but if you don't have a good one, 6 shots is kind of a problem because like you're reloading a lot. So you need something that's maybe got a modifier on it that's got a good reload speed. Ultimately you just need some sort of battle rifle in that first slot, sniper rifle in the second slot, and then that third slot. I wish that
I like the machine gun there. The machine gun does ammo, right.
Is an issue too. That's another problem I've kind of had is like even with sniper rifles, like those are real handy sometimes, but like there wasn't a single point when we were playing the last few times where I had more than 12 rounds for my sniper rifle. Like, I never got over that amount. So you got to be real stingy with that stuff. So which makes it even more important that you have something more versatile in that first weapon slot. Because then if you switch over to your heavy weapon, machine gun or rocket launcher or something, like, that ammo goes fast, and then that's it, you know? So if for a while I was rolling with, like, one of those beam weapons that's got the recharge, and then I had machine gun, and then I had a hand cannon. So once, you know, if I wasn't facing, like, a big horde of enemies that I could use the beam cannon on, I would, you know, we'd get across, come across, like, a you know, I don't even know what they call them in Destiny, but in Diablo, it would be like an elite, you know, guy that's just like more of a boss type character. I would switch over to that machine gun and then fire off the 83 rounds I had for that really fast, and then have to spend the whole rest of that fight taking on that guy with a hand cannon. So that was a little rough. That loadout was crap. So that's why I got to carry the sniper rifle, because I don't know.
I'm please forward all your complaints about Dolan's whining about ammo to facebook.com/SDF gaming and let him know that he's being a big nipple baby.
I want loot. my goddamn loot.
What's the plan on more DLC for that game? Are they going to do some more?
I think they're done.
Yeah. They're doing events. Like, there's something going on this weekend that is just like, play any event, they're going to give you, like, some strange coin.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that when you're out of town, you want some strange coin.
So you can buy some Dutch rudders, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it seems like that's their plan. Like, Taken King was sort of the last big DLC drop, and I think the rest of it's just going to be events and stuff, which is kind of why I'm glad that I'm getting into Destiny a bit late, so that I have all this content still ahead of me.
Did we ever figure out if that point that we got to was actually kind of the end of the original Destiny? Like, have we confirmed that?
We haven't confirmed it, no, but the fact that one of the next missions we played, you had to enter a code to unlock.
Yeah.
Suggest to me that it's pretty close. Like, based on what I have seen and experienced, the story aspects of that first, like, you know, Destiny bundle.
Yeah.
You know, the actual initial release of that game was real crap.
Like, I was like level 10 and we were just moving on to stuff that was DLC and Taken King content.
Yeah, well, I also think they've streamlined it some so that you're not, like, in the early goings, apparently there was some grind that people were doing for, like, helium and stuff and running a bunch more patrols so that they could, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the game is just like, okay, we're gonna kind of bump you through all that nonsense so that you can get to, you know, the higher level stuff and whatnot. But that said, like I said, I'm still enjoying it. I'm still, I'm real excited to spend some time with it this weekend. I've been having a good time with it, but do you have anything else that you want to talk about, or I'll bump into the other stuff that I've been doing?
That is it for me.
All right. In addition to Destiny, which, man, like, literally every night for the past five nights, I've spent 2-3 hours with Destiny.
Nice.
Yeah. let's not pat anyone on the back for that, but
what an accomplishment.
Yeah. You must be so proud. What do your parents think?
Yeah. But you guys, I got a sweet scout rifle. I also wrapped up Tales from the Borderlands, which was on my 10 best list this year, and I hadn't quite finished it. So I polished that up. If you go to sdfgaming.com, you can read my review of the game. Spoiler alert, I really, really liked it. You know, I said this in the review, but I think the only thing I have to say against the game is that if the Telltale formula isn't your thing, I don't know that this game is going to change your mind about that, because it's still a very Telltale-ass game. That being said, there is nothing else about the game that I have a complaint with. It's a good looking game. The voice acting is phenomenal. It's genuinely very funny. I like the music. I like the setting. I like the story. There are some surprisingly emotional moments that they pull out of their hat that were kind of unexpected. And yeah, I think it's one of the best things that the Telltale Game Studio's done. I put it right up there with like season one of The Walking Dead in terms of just being a great story experience. Yeah. And there's actually some real fun gameplay components of the final chapter in particular. But you know, it is that kind of game. It's an adventure game. It's a Telltale game. And, I wasn't like, I'm very familiar with the Borderlands world and the Borderlands story because we played an awful lot of Borderlands and Borderlands 2 in particular. So I suppose there's an element of trading on my affection for that game. Although, you know, those games have very thin stories at best. You know, Borderlands 2 a little bit more so because you have the inclusion of Handsome Jack and he's, I think, a good villain. But it's not, you know, you're not going into Borderlands 2 for the story, really. It's a first-person shooter loot game. And does a good job at that.
You know, and I'm starting to notice a trend here because the story in Diablo is fucking terrible too.
Well, Telltale needs to make a Diablo game then.
Yeah, because they need to story the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, because what Tales from the Borderlands does, the trick it manages to pull off is to take this kind of thin story from Borderlands 2 and turn it into this, like, flesh out the world in a way that it hadn't been, showing the effects of, like, the Hyperion Corporation's control of Pandora and what that's like for the citizens of Pandora and how they feel about that. Mm. I really think it's certainly one of the best adventure games I've ever played in terms and just for the sheer enjoyment of it. Like I had such a good time with that game and that last chapter in particular, I thought was just gangbusters. I said this in the review that if I had finished the last chapter of that prior to us doing our top 10 list, it probably would have been higher on my list of how good that last chapter was.
I'm glad I picked it up for $8.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a steal. I mean, you know, each of the episodes is, you know, a couple hours. In fact, hold on, I'll do a quick look here and tell you how long it took me to beat the game.
Now I'm thinking about what I just said about stories in loot games. Borderlands 2 actually had a pretty good story.
Better than most. Yeah. And the DLC in particular,
I thought absolutely. Was quite what good. What was the Tiny Tina in particular? Yeah, it was great. Like the story, the whole kind of Dungeons and Dragons aspect to it was hilarious. And
and there was the undercurrent of her wanting to deny the death of one of the vault hunters beneath it all, and I thought that was really nice. But yeah, so I put 11 hours into Tales from the Borderlands and wrapped it up.
That sounds about like the right amount of time I want to spend with a adventure game. So
yeah, and man, when you come to the end of that, I'm real excited to hear your thoughts on it because there are like three things that happen in the last chapter, all of which I absolutely loved. So can't recommend it enough. If you want to hear more of my thoughts on it, then check out sdfgaming.com and you'll see, the review on the site there. It's the highest score I've given a game that I've reviewed so far.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So
what score would you give the Making a Murderer documentary, Bo?
I would probably give that the same score that I gave Tales from a Borderlands.
I watched all 10 episodes of that show, not consecutive four nights, but in four nights. That's a good goddamn show.
Yeah.
It's oh not my hard God. To power through that one.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I recommended it to somebody at work the other day, and they came in today, and they just said, "What did you do?" Now I have to, like, my husband has already called me at work today and said, "We're going, putting the kids to bed early so we can watch that show."
It's really good.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's really good.
For anyone out there not in the know, get yourself some Netflix Instant and watch the Making a Murderer documentary. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And holy heartbreaking all at the same time.
Yeah. my heart continues to break for the kid, the nephew.
I don't want to think about it anymore.
Don't talk to the police.
You could, yeah. You could convince that kid that he was mayor of Lollipop Land if you grilled him hard enough, and he would swear to it.
It's a literal car crash that you just can't turn away from.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I feel like there's plenty of room to debate the guilt of,
tons of research after the fact, and, you know, like, if for anybody that doesn't know, you mentioned it on the last podcast, the premise being a man who was accused of rape in the 70s is acquitted via DNA evidence 18 years after he spent 18 years in prison. And then was it 18 months after he gets out is accused of murder?
Yeah, it's less than 2 years, yeah.
Murder is accused of murder. And, oh, my God.
And it just gets crazier from there.
If you want to... really shake your faith in justice in the United States, man. This is the documentary for you. Holy shit.
Yeah, I definitely compare it to the podcast Serial. That kind
absolutely.
Of addictive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the only other thing I'll mention that I accomplished with my time between our last podcast and this is that I did finish up the book Console Wars the Super Nintendo v Sega Genesis prior to the rise of the PlayStation and so forth, and sort of the characters behind that and the state that Sega was in. Like the book kind of begins with the fact that the Genesis is out and is just not selling. And it kind of traces the rise of a guy named Tom Kalinske, who took over Sega of America and sort of made that a success. You know, like all the Sonic stuff and all that was, you know, came out of his brain trust. Huh. And it was really fascinating. And maybe the most fascinating part of it was highlighting the differences, not only between... Sega of America and Sega of Japan, but Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Japan, about how those two cultures approached, you know, the video game market and that kind of thing. And, you know, America being America is a bit more freewheeling and willing to take some risks that Japan just wasn't really willing to make.
Who's the author on that?
Oh geez! I'll tell you what. I'll come back to that. I don't know. I don't have the Kindle handy. But
what's it called?
Console Wars. Console Wars is the name of it. And there's about to be. Hang on.
Stay on target.
Blake Harris is the name of. I'll do the edit so that I sound real smart.
just edit out the literal 5 minutes of
you're right. I think he was a man.
Well, I'm looking it up. Hold on. Wait for it. Looking it up.
But yeah, so they're doing, if it's not already out, it's coming out. There's going to be both a documentary and a fictionalized film version of it.
Nice.
So I'm curious now that I've read it, to see how that comes out, but it really is a compelling story and well worth a read.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, you know, some of the complaints. I think maybe it was one of the reviews or something that said that one of the problems with the book or one of the complaints they had with the book was that it focuses very heavily on the marketing of those systems rather than the technical specs. But once it comes, right? But yeah. How much do you really want to read the? I mean, they do enough to explain.
Well, the PlayStation 4 is actually much better than the Xbox One, Bo. I don't know if you know that or not.
Right. the one time
it's
they
a more
get
powerful
into,
machine. I mean, why are we even having this argument?
The one time they do get into that though is when they're talking about the Sega Saturn and what a missed opportunity that was.
Yeah.
Like, kind of SOA knew that it was an underpowered machine, And even as the Sega Genesis rather was sort of riding high, that there was a sense of impending doom of like, hey, when the Saturn hits, we're not going to be able to compete with, the N60. Was it the N64 at the time and PlayStation?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good and some very interesting characters and some real fun kind of behind the scenes stuff about, you know, pulling last minute rabbits out of hats to make the Genesis kind of be a contender, you know, like nobody but Nintendo was really doing anything in the video game space. And the Sega Genesis really became, you know, it took over market share. It was the most popular console for a while. Yeah. So interesting.
Do either of you guys have any of those old consoles still?
No. Yeah, I still have a Genesis.
Yeah.
I had my fingers on my Genesis, my Sega CD, and my PS1 today because I'm thinking about selling it all.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just sitting there. I feel bad.
I hang on to the Genesis and the Sega CD because I keep thinking at some point I'm going to find a copy of Snatcher.
So because I'm thinking of selling this stuff, I know exactly what a copy of Snatcher is worth. $500.
Yeah. Right. But yeah. I'm hoping that like I come up on one on the swap meet or something.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
You know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got internet on their phones now. Nobody's that stupid anymore.
Hey. Do I just walk around stepping on your dreams? I don't think I do. Snatcher is a very important game to me, which is odd because I don't like almost anything else Kojima ever did.
Yeah.
But I love Snatcher.
Yeah. $500. In the case with the original book, $500. Like if you had a sealed version of that, that's probably thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I also would have to find a CRT television.
I've got two of them. The former owner of my house left two. They got to be like 26 inch CRT, like giant flat screen CRT, like kind of the very like the end of, you know, tube televisions.
Right, like the Trinitron style.
Yeah. I got two of them. One of them's upstairs, and my son's got this big playroom upstairs, and I've got the Nintendo hooked up there, and one of them's hooked up to that, but I've got a spare one in the basement. So,
All right, hang on to it, so when I found my copy of Snatcher,
I'll ship you this 2,000-pound TV that I've got in my basement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, you don't have to do it overnight or nothing. Nothing expensive.
Put it on a slow boat.
Yeah,
send it down to Mississippi.
I don't think that's how that works. But, all right. For the sake of argument, if it gets me my CRT.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Yeah. I'm looking to offset the cost of buying. I parted out a new PC on PC Part Picker today. I'm actually kind of shocked how low of a price you can get on a really, really high powered machine. Like I put a Haswell i7 processor, the 4790K in there, which is extremely popular for gaming. I put a 980 GTX 980 in it, 750 watt power supply, 16 gigabytes of RAM, like basically everything you need. I got a really nice MSI motherboard parted out on there, $1,500 with a 980, a really good processor. What else did I have? The motherboard is like a top end. It's like the MSI Gaming 7 or something. I was kind of shocked. Like I was thinking, man, if I really go down this road, like I'm going to be putting like $2,300 into this thing. But it was $1,500.
How much RAM you putting in there?
16 gigs.
All right. Yeah. That's doable.
About all you need. Expand it up to 32 if I want 32 gigs.
Yeah. You know, 16 gigs get you started. Nothing fancy. Yeah.
I ordered the 980.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you sound like somebody who might pre-order something from the news section.
All right, before we get into that, I almost got talked into a used Titan.
Oh, man. My buddy Wade had... I don't know if you guys... There is a Micro Center in Nashville. Maybe there isn't. I don't remember.
I don't think there is. I looked at it the last time you talked about it.
Oh my God, that store is so great because their return policy is 30 days just no matter what. So Wade would go into this place and he'd like bought a Titan and he would bring it home and try it out and goes, yeah, I don't really notice the difference between this and my 980. Like it's, yeah, maybe it's running faster, but I don't have any games that require what this thing can do. So he just returned it. And he was running 980 SLIs, 980s in SLI for a while. And he's like, yeah, like I only really need one of these. So he just took it back. I mean, that store is fantastic. I don't know if you can do that with their online store, but if you live in a state that has a micro center, that's like my fucking church. That's like Mecca.
Yeah.
My God, that store is so fantastic.
That's a really awesome policy. There's one in Houston whenever I fly to Houston.
I think there's one in Kentucky. I don't know how close, though, to where you guys are it is, but man, that's a good store. So the thing is, if I order this machine, I'm just kind of... You know, I want to offset the cost a little bit, so I was thinking about selling some of my old game systems because, I mean, I literally have not hooked up to Sega CD or the PS1 for, God, it must have been 10, 15 years since I plugged them in last. Games are actually the more valuable part of that. Like, I've got a copy of Contra for the NES. I still have the box for it. I don't have the instruction booklet, but that's selling for like $50 to $75, depending on if you've got some of the instruction booklet and stuff with it, which is nuts.
You know, I've learned by playing a handful of PS1 and NES games in the past, 2 years, let's say, that my fondness for those games is in direct proportion to the length of time that since I last played them.
Yeah.
So that, like a while back, we tried to play a little Siphon Filter, and it was like, right, I love Siphon Filter. And then I played it, and then I was like, oh, this game is total crap.
Yeah, yeah. I put in the Adventure of Link on my NES and thought, this is terrible.
Yeah, they're unplayable games at this point, just because time has moved on and has not necessarily been kind to them. I mean, there are a handful of games like I could still get down with some River Raid. And be fine with it just because of the simplicity of it. Yeah. But any game that's trying to be a little technologically advanced for the time, and let this be a lesson to you developers who clearly listen to our show. If you're just going for the technological revolution aspect of things, eventually that's going to fade away, and all that's going to be left is whatever your core gameplay mechanics are.
Yeah.
And
I have a perfect example of that. Dragon's Lair.
Oh, geez, yeah.
That game has not aged well.
No. It still looks pretty, but...
Yeah, but there is no gameplay to that game. Up, left, right, down, one button. That is it. And... Like I could probably put it in now. I've got it for Sega CD. I could probably put it in that thing, and I bet I could figure out how to beat it again in about 15 minutes, because it's not that hard.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever even saw that game beaten.
You just memorize each room, and each room probably has like I think the most any one of those little cartoon series has in it was maybe 8 moves. Even like the battle with the dragon at the end was pretty easy. So, it's just a matter of memorizing. Okay, well, this is up, left, left, right, sword. Okay,
yeah, next room.
Yeah,
nobody likes a braggart, John.
I went to college at North Dakota State. I had some time on my hands. We're gonna start the news with, I guess, the biggest story is that the Oculus Rift is available for pre-order. The consumer version, and it has a price.
What's that?
What's the Oculus Rift? Let me tell you. It is this Rift that you see. It's a tear in space. No.
I like it. I'm a big fan of celestial bungling.
It's a VR helmet, so Bo can more in-depth enjoy his Shiza porn.
Oh, yeah.
Get right up in it.
That's not necessarily anything you want to be immersed in. You know what I mean?
So after some, like maybe what, for like maybe the last couple of weeks, like this was just announced yesterday on January 6th. There was kind of the prior 2 weeks, there was a lot of what seemed like kind of backing off by Palmer Luckey, the CEO of Oculus. And people were starting to wonder and speculate a lot that the price was going to be a lot higher than what he had alluded to previously, which I think he had kind of said something in the ballpark of $359. And it costs $599 US dollars to own the first version of the consumer Oculus Rift when it comes out in March. But then I saw today that all of the pre-orders that were available have been scooped up. So if you order an Oculus Rift now, you will most likely not get it until June. Yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say, by then, there may be another headset announced for the market.
Yeah, so I think I have a story in here about the Vive. Yeah, the HTC. Which has a pretty cool feature on it. We'll get to that. So there were some people that were kind of trying to get all butthurt about, the price not being what they expected it was going to be. Palmer Luckey, I think he did a really good job. He came out and first of all stated, we're not making any money on this thing. They're basically selling it at cost. And he also did, I read a good portion of the Ask Me Anything, the AMA that he did on Reddit, and damn if he wasn't like actually kind of answering the hard questions in that thing. I think he did a pretty good job. Kind of just saying, that's all on me. Like, this is the reasoning behind why I said it was going to be $359 and I was wrong to do that. And what I should have said was nothing. He owned up to it and kind of apologized. And it seems like everybody just kind of said, all right. I was going to buy one at $350. I'm probably going to have to wait a little longer to get one at $599. And that doesn't seem to be an issue anyway, because now you're waiting until June to get one anyway, if you want one at that price. So,
yeah.
Not a really big deal. I'm going to be building a new PC. And part of that is because I'm, eventually going to get a nice new video card and be able to, get into the VR market at some point. But I'm almost more like, I've waited this long for this thing to come out, so I'm kind of okay with, maybe not adopting until, 8 months, 12 months into this thing, just to see what happens. Like, I kind of want more than just one to be out before I really make a decision where I'm putting $600 on something. So,
yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and jump to a couple of questions from our listeners about this very thing.
Yeah.
Ryan asks us, Oculus Rift, excited. And I'm going to combine that with Wildman Willis Wheeler asking us, he says, I saw that the Rift is going to be $600 if Sony PlayStation VR is going to be half that. Do you think it'll make people not buy it?
I think what's going to happen is PC people are going to be buying the Oculus and the HTC Vive, but PlayStation has an insanely large user base now. Did I put that story in here?
Yeah. We'll get to that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. And
yeah,
and who knows what the cost of that thing is going to be. They've said it's basically going to be like buying a new console. So I think you can conservatively expect that it's going to be $350-$400 at the very least. To answer Ryan's question for myself, yes, I'm excited. I've had the DK2 for a while. I should have mentioned this when we were talking about games that we had been playing, but I checked out some new demos for the Rift, and one in particular was sort of a time machine simulator in which you are piloting a sort of a bathysphere through a Jurassic lake. And
What year is it right now?
This minute?
Yeah.
Like 75 million BC?
Yeah, that was a time machine.
Yeah.
that was a real time machine.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's not a simulator.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. I am in trouble, y'all.
How do you say? Do anybody remember the words from the Land of the Lost theme? Good. That was a
Marshall
test.
Marshall, Will, passed. And Holly on a routine expedition. Yeah, I know that shit. I'm dude, Slee Stack for life here.
Slee Stack.
So, but like in that demo, you actually pilot the bathysphere inside the mouth of this kind of, you know, Jurassic whale to scan its gills. And it was like, this is one of the cooler things I've done ever, you know, and like it's it. There are still things graphically with the DK2 that aren't, you know, photo real or anything. But the fact that, you know, there's some Unity power behind that creates some interesting looks. And anyway, like I had a great time with it. So I'm of course, I'm really excited about the CB1. Yeah. You know, it's shipping with a couple of games. I'll check those out. But yeah,
I'm kind of glad that it costs $600 because that says to me that they're building something that's of a high quality.
Exactly.
So
you know you're getting.
If it was $79.99, I would know that it's a piece of shit.
Well, so. And you can actually get into this if you want to just check out VR. You can get one of the Gear VRs and you know, one of the Samsung phones for much, much cheaper. It's not going to be quite, you know, I haven't seen it, but I would imagine it's not quite the fidelity of like a high-end PC and the actual headset. You can headset, go get
the, a pre-made Google Cardboard for like $40 and strap it on your phone, and you can get a pretty good idea of what VR is going to be like. Like, even my brother, who is not a video gamer at all, he's a few years older than I am, called me the other day. He's like, dude, I just tried on a Google Cardboard. That's fucking amazing, man. And I'm like, oh, dude, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the thing with the Rift and, you know, a lot of people have been sort of discussing this around the fringes of the conversation is that, you know, this is definitely the early adoption stuff. It is, you know, we're getting the consumer version out there. We're getting, you know, at least the user base that is most excited about it and can afford it, quite frankly. You know, I mean, it's not meant for the weekend gamer and, you know, a college kid probably isn't going to be investing in VR anytime soon.
They won't have any money left for weed. I mean, geez.
And you're going to need it, with the VR, but yeah,
Run out your
Oculus spliff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, it's, you know, like we're on the cutting edge of something. And you know, I'm happy to be a buyer on the bleeding edge of this technology because I'm so fascinated by it. And I do have, you know, thank goodness, the kind of disposable income that allows me to just blow $600 on this toy, but I'm very excited about it. I'm really interested to see what happens once the CV1 is out in numbers and see what people start developing for it. Because my best experiences with the Rift so far haven't necessarily been gaming. It's been sort of the experiential stuff, you know, like the Apollo 11 stuff. Yeah. And
that sounds so cool.
Yeah. And the one, that I did just recently, a few nights ago was, being a paratrooper in 1944 and being on one of the planes and being able to, like, it was crazy because like you look down and your hand is holding like the picture of your girl back home. And you look to the right and there's, you know, all these guys, in the paratrooper gear around you talking about, you know, getting ready for the jump and all of a sudden flat cannons start going off around you and you're, you know, out the door and parachuting down into France.
And man, like the first time I watched Saving Private Ryan and the Normandy landing, and it also kind of like not quite as to the extent of that, but the first time I played Medal of Honor. And
right.
You got that beach landing. Like, that made me, like, a little bit nauseous because, the realism was, wow, this is fucked up. Like, you're sitting in the movie theater watching that scene in Saving Private Ryan, you're just like, damn. And if you can put me in that place in VR, that's going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was, you know, it wasn't quite that intense, although it certainly had those elements, but it was really cool. And that's the stuff I'm most excited about. Like, you know, like put me in a spaceship and let me tour our solar system in something like, you know, not necessarily photorealistic, but real enough to convince me so that I can look down and see, you know, a planet and swing through the rings of Saturn and things like that. That's the stuff I'm excited to do.
There's some real crazy shit that's going to happen with that thing. I mean,
yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, I've been, you know, I've been gushing you guys, you know, but I mean, are we all pretty much on board, or is anybody not excited for it?
I'm not excited.
All right. Then to address Wildman Willis's question about the PlayStation one, you know, I think it comes down to the economics of the individual user and also what games are there for the PlayStation VR. I think I'm going to be one of those people that has PlayStation VR and a Rift. I think PlayStation is in a position to do some interesting things with that. And I know that, you know, I don't know, but my understanding is that the kit they're releasing includes sort of a graphical chip to up the power of the PlayStation 4 so that it
can. I was wondering how they're going to pull that off.
Yeah, yeah. So my impression of it is that, yeah, they're actually, like, it comes with the headset and also a box that is basically another video card. You know, and I could be totally wrong about that, but when last we left my research on that, that was what they were talking about. And that makes sense to me, but it also means that it's going to put it at a price point that's going to be kind of high. Yeah, so I don't know, you know, I mean, we're going to know in a couple of years whether or not VR is going to be a thing that's here to stay.
Somebody's got a guinea pig that HoloLens bow, and you're the only one that has an Xbox, so guess what?
Yeah, see, I don't know, guys.
You can see the waypoint floating in front of you, man.
Ugh, I know. For all the Halo I play, I
can't even tear you away from that goddamn game.
Yeah, I got the Master Chief Collection for free, and I played 5 minutes of it, probably, you know?
That game is overstayed its welcome. It's like the Assassin's Creed series now, as far as I'm concerned. It's just like, that's enough. It's like Call of Duty for me. Just stop.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. We'll get back to the Call of Duty question later on. I just wanted to, since we were on the subject of the Rift, go ahead and answer those questions in the upfront. But I can't wait. I'm, you know, fingers crossed my ship date was April, assuming that my order went through as I think it did. Nice. But there is some question surrounding that, because I was there, like, you know, the minute it launched, trying to place my order.
Oh, and that site.
Yeah, yeah, they just got hammered, which is, you know, that's kind of encouraging that there's that much interest, even at that price point. But so according to the website, I've placed the order, but I have yet to be charged for it, and I never got a confirmation email. So I sent an email to their support today being like, hey, man, I'm just making sure I'm in on this because I'm real excited to get my hands on it. But, yeah, so, you know, I didn't get the March date, but I got April and you know, fingers crossed that's going to hold true.
The next part of this story is that your pre-order does kind of reserve you a spot for the controllers.
Signed up for that.
Touch.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's nice. And then the coolest part of this story, I thought, was that if you were an original backer of the Kickstarter dev kit, you get the CV1 for free.
Yeah.
Cool. They're just giving them away. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they've been doing it right all along. And even though there has been some resistance from, you know, fans of VR and fans of the Rift, and the way that they've been very plotting in the information they're releasing and the ship dates and all that stuff. But I think they understand that they can't screw it up and that they're going to err on the side of caution.
I think they've literally just said that before, like, we get one chance at this, and if it's bad, no, it's going to die again. So
yeah,
Yeah, I am totally in the camp of wanting them to absolutely stick the landing on this thing. So,
yeah, yeah, get it right and let you know. Let me. I'm happy to be a little bit patient with this if it means that when I get my hands on that thing, it's gonna be the DK2 only better, and that's all I need it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Along those lines, so I think it was last episode, we talked about how the HTC Vive had some big game-changing thing that they had announced. And it's, you know, it seems cool. I don't know if it's game-changing or not, but they've got a front-mounted camera on that thing now that actually can, in kind of like a holodeck sort of way, project your like your literal physical surroundings in the room you're in inside of the VR universe that you are occupying inside the headset. So it can maybe put like kind of a matrixy looking outline of your coffee table and your couch will be like visible inside. So like you can navigate your room without having to take the headset off, which I think is a really cool idea.
Yeah, I think you're going to see this pop up on the Oculus Rift in the next version, because a really cool part of it in the demo I saw was, you know, the guy just puts a chair down, you know, and you can sit down in a chair without taking the headset off. But they were talking about the implications of you've got a game that has cars in it where you can just have a chair sitting there, and that is the car, and you sitting in the chair is you actually opening the door of the car and getting in and sitting down, which would just be
You're getting into some holodeck shit there, man. I'm totally into that.
Yeah. Yeah, like they've got the right idea. I really want to know more information about it. From what I've heard so far, it's really heavy, you know, is what they're saying, compared to like an Oculus Rift where they've done a lot of work to get the thing as light as possible.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear good things about the PlayStation VR in that regard, too, that it's light and comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a big key factor in anything that's going to go on your head. It's going to be comfortable.
Especially for any length of time. If you're going to, you know, strap that on and play 2 or 3 hours or something, you don't want to take it off and realize that your nose is 3/4 inch lower on your face now.
That's actually a criticism I read in a couple of places about the Vive, was that it's pretty front heavy. Whereas people were saying, like people who had tried both that and the Oculus were saying that the Oculus felt like it had a better center of gravity. Like the strap that they're putting on this one with kind of the triangle in the back helps it feel like it's, you know, more on your head than on your face. So that's going to be a big factor too. So let's jump to the PlayStation story, because we were just kind of talking about the PlayStation VR. PlayStation has sold over 35.9 million units. A month ago, that number was 35 million. So that means they moved 5 to 6 million PlayStation 4s over the holiday season.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder, you know, certainly Sony's proud of that number. I'm curious what the Xbox One number is for the same period.
Yeah, but so just to go along with the PlayStation VR news, I mean, that's a big install base for that thing. So, I mean, I know I've got another story on here that is that Steam just broke its concurrent user record again. They had 12 million concurrent users on there at the same time. So, I mean, the PC install base is, you know, obviously way, way larger than the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox, probably bigger than both of them combined. So, I mean, the big seller in my mind is most likely going to be the Vive and the Oculus, but still, like, if PS4 does it right, like if they make a quality headset, they're going to sell a lot of those goddamn things.
Yeah, the first person who can, you know, bring a console and VR together is going to sell it.
Wow, when you can package them both in the same box, and that thing is, you know, comparable to basically what they're going to have to do. Like if they're, you know, making a quality headset that is, you know, expensive, or maybe not necessarily totally on par with the Oculus, but if they can bundle it with a PS4 and maybe take a hit on a bundle for a little while to get some of them out there to, you know, generate some buzz, to maybe, like, if they can do a bundle that is, maybe just $100 more than if you were to buy an Oculus or something. PS4 and their headset for, you know, $699.
Yeah, if you could do it for $700 and you're making a pretty good case for, you know.
And you got a bunch of games. Yeah. You know, like make it, and that's the thing, like you gotta have the library. That's the kicker for all of these. Like if there are not games, this shit isn't going nowhere. So this is kind of a water is wet, the sun is hot kind of a story, but virtual reality, NVIDIA released a story saying that virtual reality requires 7 times the power of a normal game. It's because you're rendering everything twice.
But, yeah, in kind of a weird resolution as well. So
Yeah. And
tracking a long
and at 90 frames per second so that you don't puke all over your house. So, yeah, it's an interesting read. It's kind of a short little... There's longer versions of the story, but I was just looking at the one that's on Polygon.com. What's the title of this thing? Virtual reality requires 7 times the power of a normal game. It may be time to upgrade your GPU. And they list, actually, the minimum requirements for the Rift came out as well, which is a NVIDIA GTX 970 or AMD 290 equivalent or greater, an Intel i5 4590 or equivalent processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM. You have to have an HDMI 1.3 output, 3 USB 3.0 ports, and 1 2.0 port, and you need to have Windows 7 SP1 64-bit or newer. So some pretty steep requirements to run one of these things, so...
Gotta keep the latency down.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm glad that they didn't try to lowball these things and hope they could get away with it. Like, obviously they know if they fuck this up, it's all over. So, that was a good thing to see as well. So, then, you know, other than kind of the bungle with the pricing, you know, forecast that Palmer Luckey made, they've been handling all this other stuff pretty well. So... I think they're keeping expectations right where they need to be.
Yeah, and I have yet to strap the DK2 on somebody and have them walk away being like, eh, it was fine, I guess. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think your first contact with what VR really is these days is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that go? Oh, yeah, so this goes along with what I was just saying. So Windows 10 has been installed on more than 200 million computers. That's a big number. Huh. So there's a big install base for the Oculus and the Vive. So
Yeah. Although, you know, the flip side of that story was Windows or Microsoft saying that they weren't really using Windows 10 to track that much information, and then they released a bunch of information that they've been tracking.
Yeah. Now we're totally not collecting data because, you know, it's not valuable. Why would we do that? Oh, Microsoft. Come on. Let's see. Hey, I saw Star Wars. I hadn't seen it last time when we talked on this podcast.
Yeah.
And... Star Wars Force Awakens pinball machine is coming to Zen Pinball and Pinball FX2 next week. I think Pinball FX2 is a pretty goddamn good game. They get some good tables in there. But what's really interesting about this to me was with all the news of VR, I would really like to be able to play video game pinball in VR so that I can like lean up and look over the table and look around things. I think that would be really fun because it's just not the same, you know, and that's as close as I'm going to get. Cause I mean, I would, if I win the fucking Powerball, which is like $600 million or something, I'm going to have the most fly fucking collection of pinball machines ever because I love pinball machines. They're so cool, but they're just prohibitively expensive. Like even if you just wanted to have one in your house, like a good one, it's like $3,000. So I need like the analog. Give me the virtual reality pinball where it's not kind of the doesn't have that limited feel that just playing on a computer screen has. You know? That would be pretty sweet. Yeah. And it's Star Wars pinball. I mean, That was always one of the fun things about pinball was all the, you know, like Terminator and the Star Trek Next Generation machine and all those tie-ins were always great.
Yeah, kudos to you, by the way, for trying to bring back the word fly.
It didn't work? I didn't bring it back?
I mean, it's a journey of a thousand miles. Rand,
you know? You'll be using that shit tomorrow in conversation.
Sure, sure.
So I did a really fly podcast last night. These bagels you brought in sure are fly.
So, speaking of Terminator, I saw what I like to call Terminator DeGeneres, because that movie would be 1,000 times better if the Terminator was played by Ellen DeGeneres.
Exactly.
But
finding the Terminator.
Yeah, man. My affection for the Terminator franchise kind of ends with the second movie. And yeah. Salvation was bad. I think Genesis is actually worse than that. It is the level of retconning that they're trying to do with this movie.
Is this the fifth one? This is the fifth one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the fifth Terminator film. And they basically, like, okay, it's one of those movies where they show a clip from the original Terminator. Do you remember when the Terminator first lands in our time, or in 1984, and there's the dude in the trash truck, and like the arcs start sparking all over the place, and he's chomping on the cigar, and he gets all right. So they show that scene because they show the Terminator going back to 1984, and it was like, I don't need a reminder of how good that movie was in comparison to this nonsense that I'm watching. Because now all I want to do is go watch the original Terminator instead of this. Yeah. And, oh, it's so bad. It is,
especially when the original one's so good. It's so bleak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the second one, I don't think it holds up as well as a lot of people remember it holding up, but
it was a good popcorn movie. Sure. It was like a summer blockbuster. Yeah. It was fun, but it was not anywhere like the first Terminator is just like a classic of science fiction.
Oh yeah, great movie. Nobody in Terminator 2 is saying I came across time for you, Sarah Connor. Like that shit is heavy. And
I saw a picture of you, and I got in a time machine where I knew I couldn't go back, just because I thought I might be able to get lucky.
Right, because I loved you by this picture and the description that John Connor had of you enough to come back and risk my life, knowing I'm going to die in a different timeline, just on the off chance I can save your life. It is, oh man, goddamn, that movie is good. And so Terminator Genesis basically says, yeah, forget about all that shit. Right, like, remember that movie that is beloved? Then, forget that never happened. We're doing this whole other Star Trek timeline thing where Genesis is an operating system and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it is so stupid. And the guy that they have playing Kyle Reese, I think his name is Jai Courtney, I want to say. It, like, Michael Biehn as Kyle Reese is so, again, very gritty and real and looks like a dude who's been fighting Terminators for a while. Yeah. And this guy is such a pretty boy, and it's just, it's real disappointing. Anyway, I know we weren't really talking about the Terminator, really.
Is Schwarzenegger in this one?
He is, and they do.
That's unfortunate.
They do kind of the computer Schwarzenegger, where he's the young 1984 Terminator. And then they do old man Schwarzenegger, where his the fleshy
living tissue overall.
Right. So the living tissue gets old, is how they explain it. And they try to make him, like, Sarah Connor in this one, because she grew up with him, calls him Pops. And it's just, every time she says it, you just want to smack somebody who's at the helm of this movie and be like, this isn't the Terminator.
Because what you want is a Terminator that ages, because you're not building these things to go in and just like wipe out thousands of people and probably get blown up in the process, because it's a fucking Terminator. Like, you want them to have a good life, you know? You know, age, become distinguished, get a little gray hair.
Right, right. Oh,
that's so fucking stupid.
And develop emotions for no reason. And it, it's just...
Oh my God. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Run for local government.
I'm going to pretend... I'm going to pretend that movie doesn't exist.
You're better off. I wish I hadn't seen it. I wish I were a Terminator so I could delete that file from my memory.
So you could go back in time and kill that movie before it happens.
Right. That memory won't stop. It won't ever stop.
That would be a better... If you did that, that would be a better movie than what you saw. Sounds like.
If I could somehow combine Eternal Sunshine and the Terminator...
nice.
Yeah, that's exactly how
that sounds. Fantastic.
That does sound pretty good. Anyway, but yeah, so just a quick service for our listeners: don't see Terminator Genesis. Instead, just play the Terminator arcade game where you had the gun mounted on the cabinet. That was all right.
Go see Star Wars.
Star Wars
is fun.
Yeah, Star Wars is fun.
That's fun. Yeah. Star Wars. Like, go see it. Saw an IMAX in 3D. It was worth every penny. It was great. Let's see. What else do we got on this list? I was a little disappointed to see that... So I had a really good time playing co-op in Far Cry 4. I actually thought it was better than playing that game single player. And they just announced just the other day that the new Far Cry Primal, which I'm not totally sold on anyway. I'm not quite sure what the hook is going to be in that game. But they announced that it will not have any co-op at all. And some of the developers were just quoted as saying, like, yeah, it wasn't that popular, and a lot of people just didn't like it. And I kind of had the exact opposite opinion about it. So it's kind of a bummer.
They just need to do it right. Like 100% right.
Yeah.
Because in the Far Cry co-op, you really couldn't do the story together. You just run around and...
Yeah,
and blow things up together.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do all the villages and stuff, and you know, you didn't. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it needs to be kind of that Borderlands style. We're in a game together, and yeah, you know, even if you're leveled higher than I am, you go into the lower level player's game, and then you do the story, and then eventually you get to the same part in the story, and then you're progressing together. You know, that's and that's actually another beef I have about Destiny is while it does that, you can do those missions together. We have to turn them in independently. And in Borderlands, if you were all in a game together, one of you could run to the weapons shop, one of you could be off killing guys, and the third guy could run and turn the mission in, and it registered for everyone. And Destiny does not do that, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, no, if you're in the same fire team, you should be... Like, if I turn it in, I should be turning in for the whole fire team. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my biggest gripes about that game currently. Let's see. Did you guys watch the video of the dude who just stood still in Just Cause 3 for a while? He just walks out into the middle of the street and literally does nothing, and then a little counter appears on the top, and it says, like, you hear gunshots in the background, and then gunshots appears, and then the whole point of the video is, how long does it take for Just Cause 3 to become a Just Cause game if you literally give it no input from, you know, your controller whatsoever? And in a minute and 47 seconds, like, 8 people are killed. There's a bunch of car crashes. There's a mugging, the hit and run accident. And then right near the end of the video, there's like this huge car accident, and one of the cars kind of slides over and goes underneath your player character, who's just standing there. And the car surfing mechanic in the game engages, and he just rides away car surfing on the car. So it took a minute and 47 seconds for the game to become Just Cause with zero input whatsoever. Wow. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
All right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, and I think we all said it before, that game's, you know, on my, I'll wait until the price goes down list.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a fun place to fuck around.
Yeah. But once I can pick that game up for $10, done and done.
Oh, yeah.
So, the related story is that there is already a multiplayer mod in the work for Just Cause 3.
Yeah, that's gonna be wild. Yeah.
So that the mod for Just Cause 2 worked pretty good. I mean, I tried it out. I got in a room with like 50 people in it. It was nuts.
Yeah, that was just mayhem.
Yeah.
So, I would hope that the multiplayer What I would like to see is for them to randomize the spawn points enough so that there is a chance that you could spawn into that game without being in the middle of utter nonsense.
Yeah, and that was the problem with the Just Cause 2 mod. Exactly. Because I remember, I think we did that together, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then, like, we spawn in the middle of a firefight between, like, 25 tanks.
Right, and, you know, I mean, that's cool and all, but at a certain point, it's like, well, if I'm playing this multiplayer on any kind of real level, I want to be able to do something other than flee for my goddamn life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a huge map.
So yeah.
Doesn't seem like it would be...
Right, right. Like, everybody who spawns in gets, you know, a certain distance apart from the last player that spawned in or something, and... that would be nice.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming to PC on the 28th of January, just a couple of weeks from now.
I'm looking forward to you guys playing that. As you heard from the last episode, I like that game a whole lot.
Yep, I'm ready.
I'm real excited to see what that looks like on a PC. I hope that that port is good. It's not WB, so there's a good chance. But yeah, if they optimize that game for what computers can do these days, that game is going to be just gorgeous.
Yeah, I can't wait. I just love that first game. So gimme. I sent you guys another video of somebody. I've never played Trackmania, but I'm always like interested in it because it just looks like a good time waster racing game. But there's this group of guys who does all these. They make all these great videos, and the most recent one that they posted was 30 guys through multiple, like in one play session. All 30 of these guys sat down and raced on this same track over and over and over. And one of the things you can do in Trackmania is every time you drive, you're recording a little avatar that you can then play back and see. And so they did this enough times to where they have 20,000 cars on the track at the same time. And this video is amazing looking because they're all like silver Formula One race cars. And when they all leave the start line at the beginning of the video, it looks like liquid physics in a game. Like, it looks like a wave of water kind of washing out over the level, and it's just really kind of pretty. Just kind of a cool thing that the processing power existed to even do that and catch it on video. It's worth seeing if you're like into, you know, kind of a cool racing video or some kind of a trippy thing you can do in a game. It was pretty creative.
I don't like cool things.
I don't like cool stuff.
Sorry. Barking up the wrong tree.
Do you like Macho Man Randy Savage?
I do.
Who doesn't?
Somebody, and they've done this before, but he's been modded into Fallout 4. The video I saw modded him over the Deathclaw skeleton, so he's like a Deathclaw Randy Savage, and they have the voice in there and everything, and some of the player character changed their skin to... Hulk Hogan wearing like the Hulkamania shorts and he's fighting the Deathclaw.
Sometimes you do things that seem like a monumental waste of time. I hope that does not occur to whoever modded this. I feel like they have performed a service.
Yeah, I saw another one too. Then somebody had done this in Skyrim as well, but they modded in Thomas the Train. And they did it in the same place. Like the very first Deathclaw that you run into in Fallout 4 kind of bursts out of a big metal plate that's in the middle of the street that's like covering up the sewer. But then they get the sound in there where it just goes choo choo, and Thomas the Train bursts out of the ground and comes and attacks you. It's fucking hilarious.
That's awesome.
Another Fallout 4 story. Somebody has completed the game. Apparently, he has like a 37-part video series on YouTube. He completed the entire game without killing anything. He skirts around it by having like a maxed out charisma stat, and he gets other people to do his killing for him.
So, yeah.
By convincing them in speech checks to kill other people. so that he doesn't have to actually pull the trigger himself. That was how he played.
The fact that that's
possible. Yeah, so he played through the entire game without directly killing anyone himself, which is nuts.
Basically being the godfather of Fallout 4, like,
yeah,
sending his capos out to do his dirty work. I like it.
Go take care of that guy. Take care of him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Take care of him.
I'm just curious, like, who his Luca Brasi was, you know?
There's a lot of conversation. There should be, like, a conversation wheel where my favorite, like, gangster line is the, I don't remember what it's from, but it's, I'm not saying I'm going to do anything, but I'm saying something's going to get done.
I'm not sure what that is either, but I like it. I'm going to use that before I use fly, I'll tell you that much.
try to bring something back. No love. I think Activision bought MLG Major League Gaming, but it sounds like kind of like it was a fire sale. Like MLG was kind of going out of business, and they just sold all their assets to Activision. So they're probably just using that stuff to. What's their MOBA?
Activision?
Yeah.
Is it Smite? Is that theirs?
Is there Heroes of the Storm? Is that
the of the Storm is Blizzard. Oh, I guess that is them. Yeah.
Blizzard Activision. Yeah, yeah. Right. So maybe they have plans to use it for that or something. But $44 million, like that doesn't sound, in the grand scheme of some of these purchases that have been going on lately, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of cash. So. Sounds like MLG was just. I think it was Giant Bomb talked about this for a while, but the best point I heard on this story, I think it was from them, was like there's no need for kind of a third party esports group because every company that has a game that is kind of an esports game, it's kind of doing all that stuff internally. Like Valve has the international for Dota and whatnot, so. There's currently one going on for Smite right now, actually, I think.
I have yet to play. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a MOBA guy. I don't know. I haven't played a MOBA enough to know if I'm a MOBA guy or not, but...
I did the entire tutorial for Dota 2 and played, you know, maybe 5 matches, and I just... I don't know.
Yeah, it's just not
it seems so much like kind of a tower defense thing to me, and I just don't... And I'm sure it's way deeper than that. Somebody's probably freaking out right now, but I just... Yeah, that's not my thing. I don't know.
SDF or facebook.com/SDF gaming. Tell John why he's wrong about MOBAs.
Convince me why Dota is a good game. I'm going to end with the difficulties Steam had on Christmas morning. Apparently, they were the victim of a hack, possibly a DDoS hack, denial of service. Which was something that was threatened by a few hacker groups that we addressed on a previous episode. But apparently, to combat... I can't remember where I read it. Something... It was like a 6... I forget what the percentage increase of clicks on their website was, but it was... traffic to the Steam store increased 2,000% over the average traffic during the Steam sale all of a sudden. So they were getting hit pretty hard. And as a measure to combat that, they implemented a change to how the pages on Steam were cached. And in doing that, Steam actually caused an error that would make other users' personal information display on people's pages who weren't them. So, like, for example, I would log into the Steam store on Christmas morning, and the page Bo had logged in previously and his information had been cached on the page. So when I logged in, I actually saw the cache that was Bo's cache. So I could see some of the things that were visible were the last two numbers of the credit card number, your phone number. I think it may have just been some of the digits of the phone number, the email address associated with the account. But some information that you don't necessarily want other people to have. Apparently, it affected about 34,000 users. If you did not sign into Steam during that time, it did not affect you at all. So that's got that going for you. I got up Christmas morning, opened a bunch of presents with my son. And when things settled down, I got my laptop out and I was going to play some Kerbal. And I signed into Steam and it was just down because when they realized this caching issue existed, they just turned off Steam for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So, whoops.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, Christmas morning doing, you know, opening gifts with your kids. And
with my kids?
I was out back. I like to play the Krampus to your Santa. But, yeah, you know, yeah, I didn't sign in until later, so it missed me entirely. And then I heard sort of afterwards, like, oh, yeah, there was all this trouble with Steam, which... You know, it's a bummer, but I didn't hear about Xbox One and the PSN going down, so that seems
PSN, yeah, PSN went down a couple days ago, though. I don't know what the story was on that. I didn't hear much news about it.
I gotta say, though, over the past, say, year, and I'm sure it's partly because of how big the user base is now and how up in arms they would get if this were the case, but I remember the PlayStation Network being shoddy at best. And it has been largely fine, which is a nice change of pace with...
I haven't really had any... I mean, other than shit downloads really slow, I haven't really had any issues with that network, so...
Yeah, I remember with the PS3, though, that just every time... It seemed like every time I went to the PlayStation store, it was broke as shit. And with the launch of the PS4, they seem to have cleaned that up a whole lot, so... good on them. You know, I mean, there's a reason that they're selling so many consoles. One is that they had, you know, a good head start out of the gate, and it seems like they have been doing enough to keep that goodwill going. That, you know, Xbox One is still kind of trailing, and that's kind of a bummer. You know, I'd like to see both consoles really duking it out where, you know, each one of them has such great things to account for, because it turns out I got one of them Xbox Ones upstairs, and it don't get used that often. Rise of the Tomb Raider was a real good, you know, argument for having it, but that's really been the only thing.
Now here it is. Leaked information varied by page request, but included users' billing address, the last four digits of Steam Guard phone numbers, purchase history, the last two digits of credit card numbers and or email addresses, full credit card numbers, passwords, or, quote, enough data to allow logging in as or completing a transaction as another user, end quote, were not included among erroneous cash requests. So it could have been a lot worse. I mean, ultimately, this entire issue is caused by a bunch of pricks, you know, doing a denial of service attack on Christmas morning. Fucking assholes. But, you know, Steam's answer to this was what actually broke their website. But, you know, obviously it never would have happened if it weren't for these idiots. So, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, stupid kids. Yeah. Gonna shake my fist at them. All sour-like.
The first comment on this story is, fuck you, Valve, worst sales ever. Sounds like a typical Steam.
Yeah, right there. You know.
There's a reason I only have about 15 friends on Steam.
I hate to sound like such an old man about it, but man, the ability to concisely... frame an argument these days seems to be missing. You know, it has the devolution of the English language is something that I can actually chart in my lifetime, and I'm not sure that's a great way to be.
Well, we all get to die, so it'll be over.
Yeah. I mean, I always keep suicide in the back pocket too. I can always do the fuck you. I quit. Wait.
Like you don't even have to take any action. Like you'll just die eventually.
Sure,
you know?
But yeah. That's kind of happening. I'm just saying, if I get a wild hair and I'm just like, you know what, I'm done.
I can't take these internet comments anymore.
Right. If I see one more goddamn YouTube comment, it.
User Master Pang says, worst.
Yeah. Snowscope 420 says firsties. Yeah, it has become a very interesting culture, especially if, like ourselves, you spend a lot of time online. There is some weird shit that has arisen from that, but that is another podcast, which we are also going to do, that is just called Get Off My Lawn.
That's the news.
All right. Well, that was informative.
Lots of VR.
Yeah, lots.
I'm excited. To answer that question, if I didn't previously, I am totally excited.
Let's get to some questions. We have more than just the VR questions this week. Dave Burke asks us, got the new Black Ops 3 on PS3, and I'm convinced that the servers are made of Legos and despair. Thoughts? First of all, perfect phrasing.
You bought it on PS3.
Well, but all right, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't want to slam you for not having to like this console. It's like, oh, you didn't get a PS4?
Right.
I don't want to be that guy, but I mean, I think I know why it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, one would assume that more attention is being paid to the PS4 version of it. That said, that's no excuse for the servers not to be rock solid. And
you're going to release a game on that platform, the shit should work.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a PSN problem or if that's an Activision problem, but whoever is responsible for it, that's a real shame. You know, I've heard that the multiplayer in Black Ops 3 is quite good. So, yeah, sorry, Dave. But
that's just a sign. I mean, it's literally this... You know, the death knell for the last generation. They're not supporting it as well anymore. Just like I saw this question pop up on the Facebook feed, and about 10 minutes later, I got an email from Xbox saying, oh, by the way, your Xbox Live is finally going to, you know, expire. And I just went, oh, all right. And it's like, I've had Xbox Live consecutively for, Jesus Christ, 10 years, probably. The reason it took so long for it to expire was because, you know, probably 3 years ago, I bought 3 years worth of, Xbox Live Gold and punched in all the numbers, and now it's just finally running down, and there's no reason to do it again, so.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, an Xbox Live subscriber, and I
suppose, is it just one account that gives you access on both your Xbox One and your 360?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of
cool. So, yeah, I'm just paying for one, Xbox Gold or whatever it is.
I suppose it's just one account, so why not?
And it's funny, though, because when you log in, one of the things it will tell you is how long you've been an Xbox Live subscriber. And I think I'm sitting at around 8 years, something like that. And
I had a Live account on the original Xbox.
I don't believe I did.
It was right at the end of it, but I had one so that I could play Battlefront.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah, I don't think I mean, I had an account, but I don't think I had a Live account until I had a 360.
Same here.
Because I don't...
Well, that was 2000... When did the 360 come out? 2006? 2005?
I mean, and I don't know that I was... I had a...
It's like 10 years, man.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And that's a 10-year-old console. So.
And I, you know,
I'm actually kind of surprised that they released Black Ops 3 on PS3 at all.
But it was multiplayer. Wait, wasn't surprising. It multiplayer only? Wasn't like the 360 and PS3 version only multiplayer?
I think you're right.
And if that's the case, so.
That's not working. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man. I
would write an angry letter to your congressman.
No shit.
If I thought that would help at
all. Yeah, if you bought a game that stripped out the campaign, because I, you know, before I thought about this question for 2 seconds, I was thinking, well, you know, at least you can play the campaign. And if that,
who plays the campaign?
Right, but I'm just saying, Justin. Just saying, if the servers are down,
I want to get straight.
Let me tell you about some.
We'll get straight to the next one.
Right. But yeah, that's real. That's jacked up. If your only option is multiplayer on those consoles and the servers are crap. Yeah. You got all kinds of right to complain.
No scopes are so fly.
Oh, God. next question. That is going to be Matt Walsh asks us, do any of you have games that you enjoy watching other people play, but have no interest in playing personally? I know I do. I'm not crazy about playing a lot of the horror games, particularly kind of the horror experience games like Amnesia and stuff like that. Yeah. But I like watching them. You know, I'm a big baby when it comes to those games. They scare me. And I live alone and I get frightened, and then I have to call my parents, and they have to come over and make me some warm Ovaltine and remind me that there is no such thing as a machine for pigs until I fall asleep. I like, that. I really like watching, of late, the Giant Bomb guys play a Kerbal Space Program. Because they're...
Oh, man, that series is so good. Yeah,
because they're way more into it than I probably will ever be. But seeing that stuff and what state that game is in... Yeah, like, that is good enough when I watch it to make me think, like, oh, I should definitely sit down and play some of this. And then I'm like, I'm never going to sit down and play. Like, not to that extent.
Yeah. It actually... I mean, that video series is what rekindled my interest in Kerbal Space Program. That's currently why I'm playing it, was because of that first video that they put out. It got me back into it. So it's fun. It's a fun game, man.
I think watching people speedrun these games the past couple days, I think it's a lot of fun watching, you know, someone play the older Mega Man games and stuff like that. But you know, I never got past the first couple stages of those when I was a kid.
Yeah,
they're ridiculously hard, but seeing someone just like fly through the levels is really fun.
Yeah, I caught somebody earlier playing like Castlevania Symphony of the Night and doing a speed run on that, and that was just cool to see. You know, I mean, just I got a glimpse of it, and I was like, oh wow, that's yeah. There are plenty of games I like watching people play. To be honest, I find it certain games like I used to watch. People play Hearthstone just because I was so interested in the mechanics of that game and the play at kind of a high level. So that was almost more studious in nature. But I mean, if it's a good game and, you know, time is just so limited and I know the games, like I don't watch videos for games I know I'm going to play. But pretty much any other game, like if it's Super Street Fighter or something like that, like I wish I were good enough to play that game and I'm just not. But it's fascinating to watch.
I was actually going
to
say the newer Mortal Kombat games, like I'm so terrible at fighting games, but I really like watching, you know, spines and shit get ripped out. So,
yeah,
it's the fact that I can watch video games get played. Like I used to watch a lot of football. I used to go to a lot of basketball games. When I lived in Minnesota, I used to go to Timberwolves games all the time. I was a lot more into sports. Like I don't watch any sports anymore. Like I'll watch the Super Bowl, I'll watch the World Cup, I'll watch the Olympics, you know, maybe a couple baseball games a year. I don't have cable television anymore because I just watch video games and I don't really like particularly have, I have one maybe like, I used to play, I put up, you know, several hundred hours into, EVE Online and I will go back to that fairly often. That's probably the only thing that I consistently go back to. Just because the time I had with that game was fun and I did some cool, you know, cool stuff in there, but there's a whole nother level that if you don't just dedicate hours and hours that you will never see in that game. And that stuff is fun to watch. But just in general, like, you know, if I've, as I would have with just when I had cable television where you would just come home, sit on the couch, turn on the TV and kind of channel surf. I just do that with games now. Like I'll just go onto Twitch and see what's on the top and just look for something interesting. I'm picking a program that's what do I want to watch right now? You know, what's new? What's something I've never seen before? Sometimes, you know, like I'm not really particularly familiar with any one broadcaster. Like I know some of the famous guys, But I don't like frequent their channels a lot. I watch, I'll go to Total Biscuit occasionally because he does some decent reviews. But it's not really one game that I enjoy watching. It's just kind of like the whole genre. Like if I'm going to consume television or movies, I do it on Netflix and Hulu. So it's real targeted. Like, I don't just sit down and surf through things unless it's games. So,
yeah, yeah, I'm down with that. I think that's a pretty fly answer.
Told you, man. Totally. I fucking told you.
Yeah, it was a super fly.
Super fly. Jimmy Snuka.
Jason Dennison asks us, well, it begins by telling us, I'm catching up on a lot of games after finally updating to an Xbox One. Welcome to the club, Jason. It's me and you, apparently. So between Dragon Age Inquisition, Witcher 3, and Elder Scrolls Online.
That's a trigger for both.
It kind of is. It's like when Sideshow Bob steps on a rake. So between Dragon Age Inquisition, Witcher 3, and Elder Scrolls Online, which is worth losing a fraction of my life on first? I'm thinking Inquisition after loving the rest of the series. Hell, even Dragon Age 2. Jason, I would point you to sdfgaming.com where I do a pair of reviews. One in which I was a bright-eyed and optimistic Dragon Age player. A second where I finished that game. And I was...
a broken man.
Yeah, it's still a good game. There is a good game within a lot of wasted time in that game. I haven't gotten deep enough into Witcher 3 to recommend that without reservation. But everything I've seen and heard is that is the superior game. If you can get into the mechanics of it, which are vastly different from, you know, a Dragon Age Inquisition. And I played a little bit. I probably played 5-10 hours of Elder Scrolls Online. And I enjoyed that quite a bit. I think that's a good MMO, but it is an MMO, even though it has a little bit more, I don't know, I guess, action than your typical MMO. It doesn't seem quite as fetch questy. Another thing I'm going to recommend to you, cause I think it's free, is, Neverwinter. On the Xbox One, which is an MMO that got ported to that exclusively, I believe. And I think that is a pretty good MMO. And convinced me, prior to me playing Elder Scrolls Online, Neverwinter was the thing that convinced me that you could do an MMO on a console, and it works pretty well. Of all those things, I would go Witcher 3 and then would, interject, Neverwinter because that's a free option and you can, if you bounce off that thing, it's not gonna put you out any money.
I was gonna say, if you're looking for something to suck your life away, you could play Fallout 4, but I think I remember that the kind of the worst version of it apparently is on the Xbox. Like, there's some frame rate issues on both consoles, actually. But they may have corrected some of that by now. But yeah, Fallout 4 will suck your life right out of you.
I think you're not going to go wrong with The Witcher 3. Mm.
Yeah, I think maybe that would be a consensus vote. Let me know if you get into Neverwinter. I could be talked into jumping in and seeing what that game looks like now, because I know it's been through a couple of updates since I last touched it. I might fire that up again this weekend, as a matter of fact, because I didn't enjoy that.
I wish they'd put Path of Exile on the consoles.
Yeah, you know, I downloaded, at least I think I did, Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing for the Xbox One, which was the free game last month. And
that was cool.
And I don't think I fired that up, but I'd be curious to see how that plays on the console. And I'm not sure what the free games are for the PS Plus this month are, but it seems like I looked and I wasn't blown away by either.
Yeah, I don't remember being blown away by it. They haven't had anything really great on there for a while.
Hey, you know, you give me one Rocket League a year and you got a fan.
I'm still playing.
Right. Yeah, we played Rocket League within the past 72 hours, and that was the free game, you know, months ago.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Let us know, Jason. Tell us what you ended up going with there. Dragon Age Inquisition, if you can get it on the cheap and you're willing to put up with a lot of repetition, I actually think Dragon Age 2 is a better game than Dragon Age Inquisition, actually. I don't quite get all the hate that Dragon Age 2 got either. I thought, yeah, it's much smaller in scope, but I thought it told a pretty good story, actually. There endeth our questions. We unfortunately kind of front-loaded our question segment by dealing with the Rift questions early on. But you can send any other queries you have, not necessarily video game related, although that gives us a good launching pad. But shoot those over to stfgaming at stfgaming.com, or you can go to facebook.com/stfgaming, and there you can find our Facebook page, which allows you to drop some questions. And, you know, we tend to drop some comments and suggestions for good deals when we see them online over there on the Facebook page as well. So, you know, drop by, give us a like or a heart or I don't know, whatever it is these days. And you can also find this show as well as reviews and other videos and shenanigans at sdfgaming.com, and from the front page of that site, you can find us on Twitter, and you know, we're going to have an Etsy, as you heard earlier, for our Clockwork Orange action set. I think that about does it in terms of all the ways you can get hold of us, unless you can find us, because we have secretly hidden geocaching messages within each of the podcasts to reveal our actual location. So be the first to find it, and, you know, fingers crossed you're not a murderer. Guys, let's start with you, Justin. What are you going to be playing in the coming week?
I'll probably play some more Squad. It's been a lot of fun. I may go back and pick up some older games just from watching the Awesome Games Done Quick. Got a lot of that stuff on the emulators. I used to love playing the SNES Donkey Kong games, so I'm going to go back and play a couple of those.
All right. I would be curious to play like Donkey Kong Country again, because I've, you know, again, very fond of that game. It lives well in my memory, but I'm afraid if I play it again, I wish that had been part of the Rare Replay Collection. There's another one for you, Jason. If you have an Xbox One, that Rare Replay Collection is a real good deal. If you can pick it up for $20-$30, there's a lot of game in there. John Dolan
played a lot of Donkey Kong Jr. on ColecoVision.
Yeah,
that's some good shit.
I didn't have a ColecoVision, but my cousin did, so we played a lot of Donkey Kong Jr. and Popeye. Was the other one that he had on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that. Yeah, that was good.
That was good stuff.
That was actually probably, next to Donkey Kong, the most true to the arcade version game on the ColecoVision. That Popeye version was really close to the arcade.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was good. And, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Like, when you think about it, it was a really stupid game, but basically it was Donkey Kong with Popeye, and instead of going up, you kind of went to the sides. So, yeah, that was a weird one. I haven't thought about Popeye in a long time, man.
I'm not going to sit here and let you badmouth Popeye on the ColecoVision first. I don't.
I think I have a copy of it sitting about 15 feet from where I'm
sitting. Do you have a ColecoVision as well?
I do not. I have one of those where you like go to, you know, Walmart or CVS or whatever, and you buy one of those ColecoVisions where there's like 100 ColecoVision games built into it, and Popeye ain't on there. It has Omega Race, which is why I bought it. $17.
The lack of Popeye is disturbing.
I know. That was like, I was looking for it, but it wasn't there. I have one of those things for the Intellivision also. It has a bunch of old Intellivision games on it.
How much you pay for that?
Same, $17.99. Yeah, it feels
like the right price. If there are 100 games. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, about a buck. About a dime a game is where you're coming in on that thing. That's all right. Yeah,
The price was right.
So what are you going to be playing? Did you answer that already? I stopped listening like an hour ago.
I'm going to get back into Satellite Rain. I was having a lot of fun with that. And I also picked up, I've got a bunch of kind of cool looking stuff that I picked up on the Steam sale. I'm really curious to try Tales from the Borderlands. And also when I've just maybe like got one night that I can dedicate to something, I want to really get into the beginner's guide. Cause actually I really like the Stanley Parable, which was the previous game by that group. And beginner's guide, everything I've heard about it sounds pretty interesting. So, and fucking Destiny.
That's right. You are.
maybe I'll play Destiny long enough to convince you and Power Listener Andy to play some Rocket League.
Yeah. I mean, really, all you got to do is get us to the point where we get sick and tired of turning in a bunch of missions.
Yeah. Do you want to run back to the tower and figure out what these guns are that we got? Oh, they're not very good. Hey, you guys want to play Rocket League?
That's kind of how that whole situation goes. Which is fine. I think that's the perfect way to play Destiny, is a little bit at a time.
They should just put like a Rocket League machine at the tower in Destiny that you can just play while you're at the tower.
They actually should probably put it at the Reef, because then you've leveled up enough so that you definitely want to get out of that game sometimes. You know, because at first it's like, no, let's keep them here in our, you know, kind of Destiny ecosystem. And then by the time you get to the Reef, they're just like, yeah, we know that you're gonna bounce sometimes. Like, Destiny is the girl that thinks you're their boyfriend, but that's not how you describe her. You know, you're like, well, I'm kind of seeing her. Meanwhile, she's like, oh, we're definitely gonna get married.
We went out twice, and she won't leave me alone on Facebook since.
Yeah. Right. Like, when I got that email from Bungie that was like, hey, this weekend there's a special, you know, event thing happening. All you got to do is play one event. Just come back for a little bit. And it's like,
just turn it on. Just,
please. I mean, like, you met my parents. I know it was accidental.
Touch me, please.
I mean, you just showed up at my place, and my dad was there, and it wasn't really a thing, but he liked you, so... You know,
so you've technically met my family. Yeah, but come on. We like the same thing.
Right. And
shooting people's heads off.
I kind of need some insurance right now because I think I might be pregnant. not yours, but, you know, we're doing a little something in the oven.
Yeah, no, Destiny's totally knocked up with somebody else's kid.
Yeah. Somebody was there long before I got to Destiny, that's for sure. There is a level 40 baby in that belly, and I ain't even close.
But you're going to have to bleep that part out, too. That's copyrighted as well. Nobody's allowed to make a level 40 baby game.
Yeah, Rosemary's level 40 baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a combination.
I don't want to see a level 40 Rosemary's baby, man. Level 1 was enough.
Father's eyes, tail, and teeth. Level 40. So I'll probably be playing a little more Destiny, and by probably I mean most certainly. I'm now that I've mentioned it, I might dip my toe back into Neverwinter again, just because I'm curious. I haven't played that game in forever, and I had a pretty good time with it. I think I'm gonna start Life is Strange. I know that I'm coming on the heels of one of my favorite adventure games I've played in a while, but I hear enough good things, and there's something I like about that dichotomy of playing Destiny, which is such, you know, as Power Listener Andy has described it, the dumb jock of video games. No depth at all. It's just like, you want to shoot some stuff? So I like playing that game, and then on the side, having my real girlfriend, which is a game that has some substance and depth to it. So I think I'm going to try to get into that. Also, I meant to mention this in the news, but as of January 12th, I want to say, hopefully this show will be out prior to this, Gone Home hits PS4 and Xbox One for the first time.
That's an excellent game.
Yeah, so if you haven't played Gone Home... it is one of the best video game experiences I think I've ever had.
One of the best stories, yeah, for sure.
So I can't recommend that enough. If you're sitting around in the cool Arctic winter that has gripped North America, Gone Home is a great game to curl up with for, you know, what, 3-4 hours, and you're in and out of that game. And it's fantastic. So... You should definitely check that out. So we will be back in about 2 weeks with more conversation. Hopefully by then I'll have my Rift. It's not likely, but I can hope.
It's not going to happen.
That would be real fly if it did, though. Until then, check us out at sdfgaming.com, and we will be back.
I got one piece of business here. Due to a shipping error, the Facebook URL is actually www.facebook.com/schadenfreudegaming.
Oh, and I keep saying SDF Gaming.
I should
go back and re-edit it like, you know, the Camp Krusty video where it just sounds like a totally different person. You know, instead of SDF Gaming, just Schadenfreudegaming.
You're going to want to go to Schadenfreudegaming.
Right. All right, so yeah, facebook.com/SchadenfreudeGaming. Sorry about that. Or just go to sdfgaming.com and you can jump to...
click the button, because that's way easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Buttons.
I can't even spell Schadenfreude.
We've dumbed it down for the masses.
Thank God, because I am one of them. So we'll be back in about 2 weeks with more shenanigans. I think I've used shenanigans twice in this episode. Yeah.
That's a good word.
More tomfoolery. Thank you, Justin.
I also am a big fan of the term hornswoggle.
Yeah, I'm a big big fan of ne'er-do-well, even though it doesn't quite fit here, but I really like that as well.
We're kind of in the same genre, though. Those all
right,
go together.
Right, like a ne'er-do-well would definitely be up to some tomfoolery.
I'm going to go out and hornswoggle some ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, if you can get one over them.
That's not an easy thing to do.
Well, that's, they ne'er do well. All right, guys. Say goodnight.
Good night.
Fly.
We'll see you next time.
It's a fly show. It's a fly show we got here, man.
Every time you say fly, I think of the Fly Girls. And that's just reminds me of masturbation in my den.